You got me, Vitala?
Yep.
Okay, we're just talking about how many hours you have to wait between meat and milk. Right, so we saw the Mechaber and the Ramah and the Maharshal say, what's the Ramah's Lashon? Nachon Lasos, right? Nachon Lefi, and that's six. We saw that the Minhag Ashkenaz originally was one, right? Bisman HaRamah, and the Minhag Ashkenaz Mamish. Nowadays is three, and we're trying to figure out where three came from, and I quoted to you from the Mizmor LeDavid, who said that it's two steps added to this funny pre-Chadash that was in the Gilya Marsha. Okay, I think that's where we left off. So first of all, just two other things. First, how do you measure the 6 hours? Okay, three. We're just about starting. How do you measure the 6 hours? So we discussed last time the Pesachim Chuvos of Katan Gimel. Are they shows manios or are they shows kvuos? Right? Took your bechina? Took your bechina?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. So the Prichadosh, quoted in the Gilyan Marsha, says, in the winter, if you have a short day, you can wait less. Maybe your afternoon is 4 hours. Basically, what he's saying is shows manios. Right? That it's your half a day, whatever you're up to. But all of the Akronim reject that. If you look in the Pesachim Chuvos of Katan Gimel, he quotes the crazy place, Primagadim, Chachos Adam, Kesa Gedolod, Einam Zmanios. Okay, that we paskin that they are nachos manios at 6 60-minute hours, and that is the Mega Olam, that it's 6 60-minute hours.
So what is the logic to the Pripadash?
So, number one, Einam Zmanios. The logic to the Prichadash is that Mar Ukva said from one meal to the next. From one meal to the next in the days of the Gemara was manios. Right? Meaning,
okay, so what's the logic?
The logic of the Prichadash is based on the Mokor.
It's a Laplug?
Right? And what difference does it make scientifically? The answer is they not every rule has to be exactly scientific. They make a general rule that approximates it. The logic for all the other acronym is that, no, it's about something being dissolved, right? And that takes a certain amount of minutes, scientifically. However long or short the day is, and wherever the sun is in the sky, doesn't affect what happens to the meat or the fatty taste inside your mouth. And therefore, it must be 6 60-minute hours. What about Mar Ukva? Mar Ukva must have meant from meal to meal in the spring and the fall and the summer. And in the winter, he must have waited, he must have delayed his meal a little extra.
Pasha says the Rambam would say full is manio. And it's full, not meaning full 6 hours.
Pashtus. Yeah.
Because I'm saying because of the Basar Rishonim being...
Correct. Great. Unless you want to say that, no, they just made an approximation that would be convenient for everyday life. Keep in mind, they didn't have clocks in the old days. So, okay. Anyway, but I'll tell you something about the Rambam in a second. Okay. The other question is, how do you count the 6 hours? Do you count it, like, from benching to hamotzi? Or do you count it from meat to milk? Right? This comes up very often in Shabbos. I could be sitting in Shabbos meal and I'll finish the meat, but I won't bench for another hour. So when do I start counting from? So this is a machlokas. If you look, we have a Dogel Mirvava on the side. And the Dogel Mirvava on the side says, I think he says it here someplace. Mikan mashu lehedya, the very beginning of the Dogel Mirvava, the Sheshos, and Misofa Chilos Abasar, at Chilos Sudas Agvina, etc. From the end of eating the meat until the beginning of eating the milk. That is accepted by almost all the Achronim. It's accepted by the Achronim that the 6 hours, not everyone agrees, the Aruch HaShulchan says, from benching to washing. Suda to Suda, that's to be 6 hours between the Sudas, not between the meat and the milk. That's the Aruch HaShulchan, but that's not the... against the Prichadash, that's not the mainstream. The mainstream sock. The mainstream sock is from meat to milk. That comes up every Shabbos for most of us. Again, against the Aruch HaShulchan, if you would open up an Aruch HaShulchan here, you'd see he says, nope, you got to wait from benching to washing. It has to be 6 hours between sudos. We assume not. It has to be 6 hours between the meat and the milk.
The Aruch HaShulchan, it's dafka, it actually means you have to wait until, meaning if it's been 5 hours, and 5.5 hours from the last time I said Birkas HaMazon until I say Amotzi, and then I'm not going to have meat in my suda for 30 minutes.
You mean milk?
Sorry, milk for 30 minutes. It's not good? No good?
I don't have an Aruch HaShulchan here. That's what I seem to recall that he said.
Well,
although he definitely said the first part, meaning I have to wait from bench.
Right.
Is he based on Tosfos?
No, I'm not sure that really transfers. I don't know. Is there? Does anyone know if the Aruch HaShulchan's on this?
I got it.
So.
Oh, I only have Aruch. Oh, you have the Aruch HaShulchan and Peites. Oh, what is it on WikiText? Look at that.
Google.
Oh, whatever.
No, I'm just saying. I just Googled it.
V'dash, I'm tanah sheishosu mi sofa suda shel basar ad tchilas suda shel chalav. V'afen be'eis hascholas suda lo yochal chalav. Yeah, very clear. Very clear, 100% from benching to washing, or technically probably from benching to amotzi, because washing is not part of the suda. Right? So even if I'm not going to have milk yet, like we all do with shal shoda sometimes. Ah, we have 15 more minutes, let's start, and then we'll bring out the lasagna. Nope, according to the Yerushalchan, you can't do that. But lemaisa, none of the achronim agree with the Yerushalchan. The vast majority of Chronim don't agree with the Aruch HaShulchan. We paskin from the last bite of chicken to the first bite of lasagna. So we do not hold like this Aruch HaShulchan. Now, of course, there's a very common minhag nowadays, which is called 5 hours or 5.5 hours. So the question is, where does 5 or 5.5 hours come from? Is there a makor for that? So it's funny. Here it's, I don't know what to make of it. It's a very strange phenomenon. Says Rav Avadya, that he thinks there's room b'shas hadchak to wait 5.5 hours. Why 5.5 hours? He says, because what's the lush of the Rambam?
Kishay shows.
Around six. What's around six? Well, you round off. 5.5 is around 6, right? 5 hours, 31 minutes is closer to 6 than to any other number. So that's around 6 hours, as Kishe shows. That's what the Rambam says.
531, not 530.
Pashtas, but Lamaisa, let's say, there's no difference. Yeah. So there are two minhagim that I really do not see in the old Sfarim, I have to say. Like, if you look in Sfarim written more than 50 years ago, you really don't see them. And for some reason, I remember these minhagim when I was growing up. When you were growing up, did people wait 5 or 5.5? And you.
I know when you were growing up,
that's when I was a rabbi. Yes. When you were growing up, did people wait 5 or 5.5?
It became well known because Rabban Cutler instituted it in later.
Oh, he did?
Between
meals that they went in as
okay.
So
nowadays, in many yeshivas.
Right. And in all these yeshivas, Ravadia talks about, anyway, Lamaisa in Eretz Yisrael, it's very common. So, Lamaisa, what is the minhag of 5.5 hours? It's based on the Rambam, who says, ke sheish shos. There's also some people late into the 6th hour, meaning more than 5 hours. What's that based on? Not the Rambam. You're not going to say 5 hours and 1 second is like 6 hours. No, it's like 5 hours. That's based on the Me'iri. The Me'iri in the book Magen Avos. The book Magen Avos is a book where he defends the Minhagim of Provence, of southern France, of his ancestors, against people who wanted to change them. He writes that we wait 5 or 6 hours. It could be that was his understanding of the Rambam. Where would he get that from? We know that Me'iri followed the Rambam very often. Maybe he understood that. He understood that like 6 hours was 5 or 6 hours. He had a liberal interpretation of 6 hours. But there's also a minhag of 5 hours. They call it into the sixth. I'm not sure what it adds to call it into the
maybe
sixth.
That's the pshat in it. It's
kishay sha'ot. 5 hours, what they call into the sixth, right? They all want to, like, have the branding, right? That's what they call nowadays the sixth. So they want me to get into this. The other is most of the sixth, right? A row of the sixth. That way everyone has the branding of the sixth.
Maybe would that also be similar, like, when the Torah speaks about, let's say, years of animals, like a 1-year-old, 2-year-old, it's not 2 full years. It's...
Yes, but the problem is that that's never expressed as 6 years. Like va'avadcha sheish shanim means mamish 6 years. If you say ba'shana hashviyis, that's the beginning of the 7th year. So we say ben shana, it's the beginning of the 1st year. But over here, when you say mamish atkufa, so it's not so pashut. Anyway, lemaisa, these are two minhagim that have become popular.
Sorry, one small meiri becomes
nowadays. Don't ask me. Teinach the Rambam efshar, because the Rambam was probably the first. I didn't check like everyone, but it seems to be the first one to say 6. So then you could say all of 6 goes to the Rambam. The Gemara didn't say a number. All of 6 goes to the Rambam. The Rambam said keh. Here it becomes a little funny. So the Meiri, you're right. Well, he discovered Meiri. So forget that the Chazanish was against the Meiri, not against the Meiri. Saying, let's say the Meiri is the equal of any other Rishon. Say you find one book of one Rishon someplace that no one knew about, you know, after 700 years, and all of a sudden you change the practice based on it, it seems a little funny, unless you want to say that's shot in the Rambam. It's the Rambam, right? But it's a little funny because you go back to the Rambam and you have this. But every single Rishon and Achron after the Rambam wrote 6 hours, right? Right here, Lahamtim Sheishos is in the Rambam. The Mechaber says Yesha Sheishos, meaning everyone else ignored the Keh of the Rambam. So for 700 years, 800 years, everyone ignored the 750 years, everyone ignored the Keh of the Rambam. And then people said, but the Rambam, he's the originator of everything. He's the Mukher, and he said Keh. So how are you supposed to look at it? You're supposed to look at it as, well, go back to the sources. Everyone's based on the Rambam. The Rambam said, Kishe shows. So that's what everyone holds. Or do you say, no, the Rambam said that, but for the past 700 years, everyone's thought differently, and you can't start going back 700 years and reevaluating things. I'm not a big enough philosopher to know how to answer that question. I'll just tell you what the Poskim say. Rav Ovadia talks about it, and he says, he has 2 tshuvas. He says, one tshuva, he says, Lemaisa yesh lahachmir, but b'shas avchak you could be makel, and then that's in chelik aleph, siman dalet, and in chelik gimel, siman gimel, which is obviously written later. He says, I love davka she shows, even if you're missing up to half an hour, shaper dummy lahakel. So it sounds like in chelik aleph he says b'shas avchak you could be makel. Already by chelik gimel, he said shaper dummy lahakel, and it's well known that many yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael follow this, and they say, I'm not sure why, but somehow for the sage or the yeshivas, it works out better. If they don't have a full 6 hours, I'm not sure why it would be so. Would it be so? I know, they would meet lunch, dinner, dinner. Yeah. But like, it's like 5.5 hours. Would it be so hard to move the schedule another half hour one direction or another? So I don't know, I never ran a yeshiva. Maybe it would be. You know, I never ran a yeshiva with 500 guys. Maybe it would be.
In the summer, they dine in Martin at 8:15. They eat supper at 7:30, 7:20.
Right. So if they eat supper at 7:20, let them eat lunch at 12:45 and finish by 1:20.
On the summer it works.
All right, whatever, somehow. Okay, you get the point. Anyway, the minhag in many yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, okay? When I went to yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, there was 6 hours and 15 minutes between the beginning of lunch and the beginning of dinner. And you have to wait on line. Depends if you're in the front of the line, back of the line, front to back, front to the beginning of the line at lunch, the end of the line at dinner, or vice versa. Yeah. And for those who are Lichtenstein Shear, when he always finished 20 minutes into lunch, no, he never finished late. He just didn't want to stop in the middle of a thought, and he didn't want to violate the Siddurim. So lunch was at 1, so if at 12:58 he finished an Inyan, he started the next Inyan, because you couldn't end Shia, and then obviously he's not going to have any place to break for 20 minutes. So for those who are of Aaron Shia, there's no Hava Mina of getting 6 hours. So okay, anyway, when I was in yeshiva, I waited 6 hours anyway. My son was in yeshiva, he waited 6 hours anyway. But, okay, the minig of a lot of places to be Mekel, like the second row of Adya. So if you want to, if someone asked me what to do, all else being equal, I would say, you know, for 700 years, everyone says 6 hours till someone discovered a formulation of the Rambam. With all due respect for the Rambam, Menig Yisrael was apparently not that way for 700 years. So I'm a fan of 6 hours, but you can't deny the Rambam or the Gedolim favor of this. And basically, if you want to give you 2 deos, one, the Abia Omer of Rav Ovadia is Mekel this way. Even though he's Sephardi, he should take it very seriously. And 2, I found a wild thing. In a book called, this is a book full of chumras. Has so many chumras that I'm even afraid to quote it. And his other books have more chumras. Book Hakashrus, We have it down on the shelf.
The black book.
Yeah, the black book, Akashos. I think this is an earlier version was not necessarily black. They could change the color of the cover. But yes, the in the book Akashos, which is a very macro book, here, he does quote Yesh HaMekilim after 5.5 hours. La'ach shechol for rov hashah shishas. Rov the shishas, right? Get the branding. And what does he quote in the footnote here? Rav Yashiv. He says, and now he says two things for Rav Yashiv. One, he says, Rav Yashiv, this is what he quotes from Rav Yashiv. Now again, I don't know where he got this from Rav Yashiv. He was definitely closer to Rav Yashiv than I was. But, you know, he is a very big machver. He quotes and Rav Yashiv is a very big machver. So if he quotes a kula from Rav Yashiv, maybe it's true. Because it's not an everyday occurrence. He says two things from Rav Yashiv. First says, Me'ikra din, you can wait 5 hours and a minute. Like the Me'iri has the right shot in the Rambam. That's what Sefer HaKashrus. You want to know where it is? It's on page Rechayim Gimel in Sefer HaKashrus. Sefer HaKashrus, this is the Iker HaDin. He didn't actually paskin like this. But he said, theoretically, Lefi Agon Rav Yashiv Muva V'Sefer HaKashrus, page 273. Okay, that's a tremendous chiddush that he thinks the Iker HaDin is like the Me'iri. Then he doesn't say, what does he say, Lemaisa? Lemaisa says, Rav Yashiv, he quotes here, therefore, Lemaisa, if you're very thirsty, and, you know, all you have is milk to drink, or if you're going to someone's house and you don't want to make them feel bad or to insult them by not eating their food, then you can do 5.5 hours. And apparently that's what Ryan Cutler said in Lakewood for the story of the yeshiva, right? So this is Minhag of Harvey Yeshivos, and this is, you know, Mutter Bishas Hatzorech Lefi Hagon Lepushim Shalom Yashiv Fiel Yashiv Huva B'Sefer Hanal in that same place. So here we have a lot of Mekila. Okay, well, Yashiv says, if you're stuck, he doesn't say L'Hachila. I don't know if he'd consider yeshivas to be stuck because it really is hard to run a yeshiva, because we all think, like, what's the big deal? But if you have, like, hundreds of talmidim, so it's trickier to, like, get everything to run smoothly. I totally understand that. And to make sure that they're over, they're supposed to be at the right time, and they're all, you know, happy, etc. So, Lemaisa, in my humble opinion, I think it's good to wait 6 hours anyway. But those who wait 5 hours have what to be somichan. Those who wait 5.5 hours certainly have what to be, have, like, serious, you know, to be somichan. You know, so if your family minhag is to wait 5.5 hours, or even to wait 5 hours, I'm not going to question anyone's family minhag, but, you know, I still think that, you know, I haven't found in any sefer, maybe I just didn't look hard enough, in any sefer from before I was born, between the Rambam and the Me'iri and my being born, I haven't found anyone says, I've found the 1 hour in the Rambam, but I haven't seen anyone 5 or 5.5. I'm still not such a, but who am I to take on if it's Ron Cutler and Rav Vadya and Yirel Yashiv, okay, Yirel Yashiv says it's B'Shas HaTzorech. Okay, everyone should follow their minhag, but certainly I think, certainly if you're stuck, then I think it's better to be making at least 5.5 hours if you're stuck, that's Pashat. What?
Someone told me, he asked Rav Mordechai Eliyahu. If he said, like, he don't do many yeshivas. He said, but in yeshiva, they worked out, like, those 5.5 hours, at least during summertime.
Okay.
So he asked him, like, if it's okay. He said, no, that's not good.
He said,
that's my yeshiva. He said, tagilim shazalo
beseder. Yeah, that's not going to impress more. Yeah, I understand. Okay, beseder. Yes.
According to the sheet, they did 5.5, can they also be somewhat like the Greek college a little bit? Because they're saying that he's not saying it's around.
Well, not in the summer, right? Because in the summer the shows money so longer. He was saying,
right, like, but no, but if he's willing to say during the winter, there could be less.
That's not him. If he's willing to say during the winter, it could be less, but that only helps in the winter, yeah, not in the summer. And usually the yeshivas in the summer is the problem because Mincha's later. Winter, it's later?
Marv's later.
Whatever.
Suffers first.
Yeah.
But you could even ask, according to him, what he says shows money. I mean, if in the summer I waited as if it were winter time, would that be okay?
No, it doesn't sound like it for him. That's a Tehillah Dovid's extension. It doesn't sound like that for him. By the way, if you wanted to give another smach for the Me'iri, you could point out that in Eretz Yisrael, the shortest six shalos manios are 5 hours. Right. So that could be another spot for the Meiri. Meaning where Bar Okva lived, right, in the Near East. The shortest six shalos manios are 5 hours. So that could be another raya for the Meiri if you want to take Shlomi's derech. It's a little hard for me to do that in Prichadash because, like, why should we go by some random country in, like, you know, Poland and then say that applies to everywhere in the world? But if you wanted to apply to where Bar Okva lived in the winter, then maybe. Okay, nice. Those are the opinions.
Can one just rely on this without doing a Taurus Norm or anything on Shas Tzorach? He's been waiting 6 hours his whole life. All of a sudden, now he's there Shas Tzorach. He knows it's 5 and a half. So.
Yeah, I think unless he specifically intended to be Machmer even Shas Tzorach, then we generally assume there's room to be Makel. Shas Tzorach, you don't need a Taurus Nedarim because that's not against your practice. Unless you specify that.
If any of our grandparents were waiting 5 and a little bit, like they didn't have the Meiri back then. So where did that come from?
So first of all, our grandparents did have the Meiri. Our great great grandparents didn't. I don't know who published Magen Avos first. They didn't have so many books. But I don't know, maybe they had that shot in the Rambam. Maybe they just thought that Keshesh means 5 hours in a minute. Okay, that's not what I think, but it could be. Okay, bye. Just one thing I want to point out is two other kulas where Moshe says after fleshic vitamins, you don't have to wait 6 hours. Says this takana was only on normal food. Not on, because some they give iron pills, which are fleshic. And the problem with most iron pills is that they're treif, because they're made from meat. But if you get kosher iron pills that are fleshic, whether or not it's mutter to take them if they're treif, we'll get to, but not yet.
Then you don't have to wait if it's treif.
Well, that depends on the kud and the flaw and what kind of treif. Anyway, the Maaser of Moshe has a famous kula that for vitamins, which are not really edible and not normal eating, they were not gozer. Another kula is the...
You don't have to wait at all?
He definitely says you don't have to wait 6 hours. I assume you have to wait till after the meal. I don't remember if he said 1 hour or not. So you have to, whoever, if anyone has one of these modern books, they can look it up. I don't know if I wrote it down. So I can double check. Okay, but now I want to go weiter. There's one other important kula, which is the Chassam Sofer, according to Pesach Tshuva Gimel, Makom Choli, 1 hour is enough. Right? At least for Ashkenazim. I don't know if Sfaradim would agree, because since the Milgashah is 1 hour, and we just think it's better to wait 6 hours, it's preferable to wait 6 hours, Reach HaTorah, Nachon, etc. But since really for Ashkenazim, you could have relied on 1 hour, theoretically. Therefore, for a makom choli, you can rely on 1 hour. And it doesn't really, nowadays in modern medicine, I know how often comes up, the doctors tell you to drink milk a lot. I don't know if that's as common as it was in Europe. Now they give you medicines and stuff. But in Europe, where they didn't have all the modern medicine, they would give you food. And but if someone for health reasons needs to drink milk, they can be makel in an hour. The Ocher Shulchan says, likewise, a kid who needs it can be makel in an hour. And this brings up the big issue of how long do kids have to wait. And here it gets very tricky. Is there room to be mako with kids? So there are three big stud in lahakel when it comes to kids. The main sad lahakel when it comes to kids, I mean, at least one big sad lahakel is that maybe kids are considered like a chola in halacha. In many years, a kid is like a chola. Chassam Sofer is mako on an hour for a chola. The other sad lahakel is that the Chelkas Yaakov says the Chelkas Yaakov, for Ashkenazim, it's only a chumra to wait 6 hours. And a chumra is like a neder, and kids are not chayiv in a darim. That's a big chiddush. Kids are not chayiv in minhagim. That's what you want to say. Maybe, since it's not, for Ashkenazim, me ikaridim, we were mekel, and then we were no hit to be machra like the Sfaradim. So maybe the kids aren't bound by the minhag. Ravadia also says, because there are many opinions that say that it's mutter to give a kid an isser drabanan, it's mutter to feed kids isser drabanan that they need, and you only have to be mechanech them across the board for doraisas. So lemaisa is many studied lahakel for kids. What does that mean, halacha lemaisa for kids? So really, they're different minhagim, and really everyone has to know their kids and use common sense as well. Can't just follow a guideline. You have to know what your kid's ready for chinuch-wise. But in a few svarim, so in the art school, Children in Halacha book, which I by Rav Simcha Bonim Cohen, he quotes here that up to three, the kid doesn't have to wait at all. And between...
But mamish, right? Like right after he had meat, you can give him a bottle of bottles.
Yes.
It's not the rice.
So up to three, he says it's very important for kids to have milk. Yeah. They don't have to wait at all. He says from 3 to 6, you should wait 1 hour. And after 6, then he should after you know after six he should wait 6 hours. He should be chanukim to wait 6 hours unless it's necessary to be mako, and then you could give him after an hour, and you know depending on the circumstances. Okay, it's you know it's hard to know.
Isn't it meaning like to train them gradually, like to add more and more hours?
So I and then a lot of people I know the meaning is they first go to 3 hours, then they go to six
that
hours.
That's how I was trained.
Yeah, that's what they do in my house. But I know my wife didn't ask me. She just did what they did in her house. But Lemaisa, basically though, there's this Masora from it's from the Deborah Tina Rav, the Bar Moshe, who wrote Shuvas that were published in the Pesachei Halacha. He said, under three, don't be mechanech at all. Between 3 and 6, be mechanech an hour. And afterwards, you know, try to be mechanech properly in the most appropriate way that you can for your kid. But for sure, if the kid's sick or something, or the kid's has problems, medical issues, or is not healthy, then, okay, the Chasam Sofer says don't wait too long, because milk is a very healthy thing for kids. Okay, back now I think we're ready to go on to Sif Beis. Sif Beis, Achal Gvina, Mutar Lechal Achar Basar Miyad. That's a Gemara. After Gvina, you can eat Basar right away. I don't think anyone disagrees that that's the din, I'll be the Gemara. Uvilvachi Ayin Yodav. But you have to do three things. Remember the three things we decided you have to do between meat and milk? One, until Shadayim. So the Gemara says, Vafurish, Shigi Ayin Yodav Shlo Yishum Dover Mi Gvina Nidbak Vahem. You don't have to wash your hands. You just have to look at them, make sure they're clean. But if it's at night, then you have to wash them. Or if you see they're dirty, obviously you have to wash them. Okay, so the Shach here discusses what if you have a good light, strong electric lights at night. He didn't discuss electric lights. A strong candle at night. But then he says in the end, all this is irrelevant because there's a chumer of Rabbeinu Peretz. I don't think Rabbeinu Peretz had this as a pshat in the Gemara. It was just a chumrah. Why do you add new chumras? Okay, apparently Yeldi can add new chumras. He said, even though the Gemara says if it's the daytime or it's very light, you can just examine your hands. Since we've been in Peretz, our chumrah is to always wash your hands. And that's what he says right here. Yesh l'rachtam af bayom, because sometimes it'll be dirty and you won't notice. V'chein das hachronim, says the shach. V'chein kazav ateres zav shekein noagim. Shach zav katan tes says, there's Gemara versus Rabbi Peretz. How can there be Gemara versus Rabbi Peretz? The Gemara is the din. And Rabbi Peretz is a minhag l'hachmir. And the netilas yadayim by Yom, Gemara versus Rabbi Peretz. The mechaber paskins like the Gemara. But the shach and the achronim paskin like Rabbi Peretz, that we have a chumra to do netilas yadayim all the time. We have many chumras in Tehillah Shadayim, because then there's another chumra in Tehillah Shadayim is found the Pesachei Tshuvos of Katan Dalet. Here also, you have to like follow the instructions to know what he's talking about. Sheya Ayin, Ayin Berheiter Shem Pri Chodesh. Okay, what does Berheiter say in the name of Pri Chodesh, right? This is a parenthesis Berheiter. Says the Pri Chodesh, very passionate. He says, nowadays we don't have to do Tehillah Shadayim. Well, not all of us, but in a regular meal, because we use silverware. My grave has a fork. He says, if you use silverware, you don't have to use Tehillah Shadayim for the obvious reason that you don't touch the food with your hands, right? So if I just ate lasagna with a fork and knife, why would I need Tehillah Shadayim before eating meat? I didn't touch it. I used a fork and knife.
Now, the same thing by washing for wet foods.
Yes.
If you're eating with
Yes. Says the, however, in this case, not going to pass in that case, but in this case, says the Pesachei Tshuva according to the Primogadim, Nochel Lahachmer Dover She'im Bo Torach, says the Primogadim, this is a principle, which is applied sometimes. So maybe it's not a principle. But he says that even though really you should be makel, first of all, during the day you should make a legamri. It's just a chumra of being a parrot to wash your hands. And then, if a fork and knife, for sure you should be makel. Says the Primogadim, but you know, it's easy to wash your hands. So just be machmir. Halach lemaisa, our minig is like the Primogadim. It's so, we have running water. It's so easy for us to wash our hands. Okay, what if you're somebody without water? Okay, then don't. But in normal circumstances, you know, what's the big deal to wash your hands? We don't have to go to the well. So therefore, lemaisa, we are machmir. What if you have silverware? Says the Prichadash Potter. However, says the Primogadim, nachol lahachmir. And we hold our minhag is like the Primogadim. That's the Maimonides Svarim say. That it's always good to be machmir, wash your hands. It's not so hard to wash your hands. Okay. Therefore, you should wash your hands. Next thing you have to do, v'tzorech l'kaneach piv, you have to wipe your mouth, ula hadicho, and wash your mouth. And how do you do this? V'kinuachu sheyilos pas, that you chew bread, v'kaneach bo piv yafeh, and you wipe your mouth with it well, meaning you chew it all over your mouth. V'chim kol dav sheyirtza, you can use any other food, chutz mikimcha, except for flour, and even though there's a Torah in Aruch Chaim says barley flour, except for all flour. Flour is not good. And what else is not good? Tamri, dates is not good. The yarka and vegetables are not good. Because they get stuck in your gums and don't clean well. Okay, I'm not sure exactly what kind of vegetables they were referring to at that time, but okay, be on the safe side.
I wonder what type of cheese they're talking about.
We're not up to that yet. Okay, so you have to use one of those things. Give me a second. The acher kach, says the Pesachei Tshuva here, do you have to chew it or do you have to swallow it? Says the Pesachei Tshuva here, in Sifkatan, that you have to swallow it for two reasons. Number one, he quotes the Pre-Torah. Pre-Torah is a Pirush on Shulchan Aruch Yordea, written by the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Because of the Pre-Torah, that you have to swallow, which makes sense. Remember, if we're Choshesh, according to Rashi, the taste in the back of your mouth, when you were in your throat, then to clean all the way in the back of your mouth where you swallow, you have to swallow the bread.
Or else is it back of the mouth?
Now, that's what the Shach says, as opposed to Lavush. He doesn't say anything, but that's what we assume, that Rashi would be making on Lois Latinuk.
So he obviously says that by dairy, though? Says it by meat.
That's true. I take it back. Okay, you're right. I take it back. Rashi says it by meat, so it's not really relevant. My mistake. Okay, but nonetheless, I guess the point is to clean your mouth thoroughly from the front to the back, you would have to swallow it. That's the pre-tor. The
Pesachei Tshuva. In addition to chewing.
What?
This is in addition to chewing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And it says that you have to chew it and swallow it. That way it gets all your mouth, front to back. The Pesachei Tshuva also points out that you have to swallow it anyway for a different reason, because there's an isser, drabanan of hefs, at least drabanan of hefs at ochlin. You're not allowed to waste food. And if you chew the food and you spit it out, then you're wasting food. I mean, no one's going to eat it afterwards. Unless, you know, like the old boys, the teenage, but normally. So therefore, okay, you should eat a par of food. And one second, v'akrach yediach piva mayim obiyayin, and then you should wash your mouth out with water or with water or wine, meaning with any par of drink. Okay, so that's just basically what it says in the Gemara, the three things that you have to do. Okay, in Shachs of Kut and Yud, we're not going to go over now. Just two details, and then three details, then I'll take questions. First detail is the Shachs of Kut and Yud goes over all the halachos of Netilas Yadayim, what's called Mayim and Tzayim, right? Middle waters between Tavshel and Tavshel. Okay, the most of the things he discusses here are not so relevant to us. We wash our hands with normal water. Yud Aleph and Yud Gimel, the Shach points out that there's no order for these things. Even though the Mechaber says...
What do you mean normal water?
Oh, you're saying not sharmashkin and not... You know, the even though the Mechaber says you do kinuach v'achar kachadacha, he says it's lav davka. Really, you could do it either order you want, and that's how we assume like the Shach. You could do it in any order you want. And one other thing, which is not on the daf here, is a machlokas achronim. What if you didn't eat cheese? Not the case here. What if you just drank milk? Right? What about bein gvino lebasar, you need kinuach vehadacha? How about bein chalav lebasar? What I mean is you drink, you didn't eat. Do you need the same standards of cleaning out your mouth after a drink as after eating? You didn't eat chocolate or cheese. You just drank a cup of milk or shoka. Or coffee, right. Okay. Halacha l'maisa. So this is a big machlokes, the Lavush and the Isser Beheter both say that it's quoted in all the Achronim here, says the Lavush and the Isser Beheter, they say you also need kinuach v'hadacha. To get the taste out of your mouth, you need kinuach v'hadacha. However, says the Darkei Tshuva here in the name of some Achronim, so cut long aleph, if I'm not mistaken, Darkei Tshuva, the number of Achronim, you only need Hadacha. What's the Lundus here? The Lundus here is, the Darkei Tshuva says, why do you need to eat solid and liquid? So, the Lavush says, to get all the taste out of your mouth, you need a solid and a liquid to clean the taste out of your mouth. So after Shoko or coffee, you need solid and liquid. But the Darkei Tshuva says, no, the drinking gets the taste out of your mouth. The chewing is to get any pieces that might be stuck to your gums. But since there's no pieces of coffee, or right, liquids don't have pieces, therefore you don't need to eat a solid, just a liquid. Okay, Ray Forst actually, on page 208 in his book, right, Ray Forst wrote the Art Scroll book. Art Scroll is the Posig Achron of America. So the Ray Forst is actually make like the Darkei Tshuva here. If all you did was drink milk, says that's not what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about. It's talking about eating cheese, achal gvina. Doesn't say what to do if you just drink milk. If all you did is drink milk, then it's enough to just drink water, and that will clean your mouth out, and you don't also need to eat a cracker or something. Okay, so this is the Psak of Rabbi Forst. You know which one I mean, the Art Scroll, Laws of Kashrus, page 208, written by Forst, he's a big Talmud Chacham and a very, very nice person.
And no one would think you would need Netila?
What?
Drinking.
And what if you drink from a cup, would you need Netila is a fascinating question. Would we say like the Prima Gadim? Even though you drink from a cup, you might as well, since it's it's not a tircha, it's very easy. Or you say, no, that's if you're eating things. Because you know what? Eating things, you generally have to wash. That is a great question. That is a terrific, terrific question. What do you think? What's his lotion here? I don't know. It doesn't seem to me you should have to wash your hands. Because, you hardly ever get milk on your hands when you eat.
It's not like that's fatty and sticky.
Right. Well, you still have to wash your hands. Okay. But, kach nira la niyaz daiti haklusha. Okay.
Does anyone quote bring down the Ran who says you do not eat hadacha for a mouth at all?
We mentioned that when you were gone. No one from Shulchan Aruch.
So we Google it for Rashi.
Yeah. Okay. Now, just one last point. Ofu gvina nechal b'apikorin. Right. So remember with tupshat, and the megal shot was that you can eat cheese after chicken. We didn't pass that white olive. The machmir pshat, you still have to mutter something. Right. The Gemara said something is mutter. So what's mutter? You can't eat cheese after chicken. You can eat chicken after cheese. You can eat anything after cheese. No, you can eat chicken after cheese without kinuach and adacha. That's what the Mechaber says. Bamed var mamur mibasar behem v'chaya. Avol balecho b'sar ofachar gvina einu tzorch lo kinuach v'lo netila. And that also means not hadacha. You don't need to do anything between gvina and of for the simple, the chashash is still there. Yes, but it's ofas d'rabban, and they weren't gozer in this far out extension of basar b'chalav. Okay, that's the first Gemara. I mean, there's no two ways about it. That of after gvina is totally mutter. No two ways about it. I'll be din. What's interesting here is that if we're makel on of because it's d'rabban, why are we makel on of? Thomas says we're makel on chicken and then cheese. He says because chicken doesn't stick so much. But here, no, we're makel on cheese and then chicken. So it has nothing to do with the chicken sticks. Right? The answer is Kedofa Drabanan. So then why aren't we Mekalon Chaya, which is also Drabanan? So says the Shach, even though Chaya is Drabanan, since Basar Chaya is very similar to Basar Behema, they weren't Mekalon. Since Basar Oaf is very different from Basar Behema, they were Mekal. Again, pieces of chicken generally don't look anything like pieces of meat, but I assume that venison looks more like beef than schnitzel does. Okay. Now, however, the question is whether what's the minig Ashkenaz on this? So here, let me just read fast for a second. V'yesh machmiyo fil basar chagvina. Some people are machmir that you can't even have meat after cheese. That's our minig, that it's hard cheese, and ochlan chorea fil basar oaf. You don't eat even chicken after hard cheese. Kamo b'gvina chorbasar, just like cheese after meat. V'yesh makilim sarim mekevayim limchos. You shouldn't object. Rach, the makilim, what do they have to do? She asu kinuach v'adach v'tilos yadayim. Miyotov l'achmir. Even the makilim have to do kinuach v'adach v'tilos yadayim. Now, what case did the Mekilon have to do kinuach adach and til sedayim? He just said, even besar oaf. So you could read the Ramah. You have to read the Ramah with two assumptions. When he says, even the Mekilon have to do kinuach adach and til sedayim, maybe he meant what he said in the last line. If they eat chicken after cheese, the Mekilon means the most Mekil, kinuach adach and til sedayim, for chicken after cheese. That's an assumption, that he's still talking about chicken after cheese. The second assumption is, that he started off talking about hard cheese. That here he's talking even not about hard cheese. If you make these two assumptions, says the Rama, that even Mekilim have to do Kinuach, Hadacha, Unetila Shadayim between Gavina and Basar. What do some Achronim Medayik from this Ramah, like the Yad Yehuda here, is Medayik for the Ramah? He's Medayik two things to the Ramah. Number one, says the Yad Yehuda, he says, the Ramah means even oaf. Where does he get that from? Because the last line there, I must say, Afilu Basar Oaf. So he's still talking about Basar Oaf. Number two, he says, the Ramah means even soft cheese. Even though in the previous line he's talking about hard cheese, he means even soft cheese. Okay, would I necessarily have made a chumrah based on two assumptions about the Ramah? I would have said, no, maybe don't make these two assumptions about the Ramah. But the Yad Yehuda and many Achronim, there's a list of like 100 Achronim on both sides, make this assumption in the Ramah that he means when he says even the Mekilim need Kinuach Adam Tilos Adayim, he means whether it's after hard cheese or soft cheese, whether it's before beef or chicken, in which case he's going against the Gemara and saying you need Kinuach Adam Tilos Adayim between cheese and chicken. Ah, can the Ramah go against the Gemara? Yes, because you're allowed to add extra chumras in Basar V'Chalav. So this is a Machlokas Achronim. Did the Ramah mean to slip in here an extra chumra in Basar V'Chalav, or did he not? Big machlokes achronim. So that's the question. You know, Ramah al pi minhag. Then he was the mevatel the upper courses, right? Then he says you need kinuach, hadacha, or netilas yadayim between gvina the oaf or no. And then this would be a minhag. Or no, he's not mechadish a minhag. When he said you need kinuach adam tilos adayim, he meant before beef. Or maybe he meant only after hard cheese. Right? Or no, you don't need. And he's stuck with the din. L'maisa, I'm not sure I would be machmer, but it seems to me that the modern day sfarim, the minhag, is to be machmer. It seems to me the minhag is to be machmer here, that obviously alpi minhag, you can't be machmer, alpi din, to require the same thing between cheese and chicken as cheese and beef. Because then you're against the Gemara. But it seems to me the minhag is, even though it's a big chumrah, and even though the Ramah didn't say it explicitly, and I would not have run to say, but hints that he might be making a big chumrah, so let's take it on ourselves. But the minhag olam seems to me to be machmer, and the modern day svarim all lean towards being machmer. So I think the minhag nowadays to be machmer, and erase the whole heter of chicken. Basically, nowadays we treat chicken the same as meat, and we wait 6 hours between chicken and cheese, and we do kinuach adach and dinil sedayim between cheese and chicken. That seems to be the minhag. What's against the Mechaber and the Gemara? It's a diok in the Ramah. Okay, now let's get to the main topic of the Ramah. Says the main topic of the Ramah. Yesh machmirim, that you have to wait between cheese and meat. Oh, that's mufurish against the Gemara. So mehechi tesi, to wait between cheese and meat. What's the makor of the yesh machmirim? What's the makor lehachmir ulehamtin, to wait bein gvina lebasar? So what are the two options? What are the two possible makoros? What are the two possible sources? One is the Marami Rittenberg. Maisa Shahai with the Marami Rittenberg, who by the way was known as a big machmir. I don't mean big machmir in psak. Sorry, I mean big personal machmir. It was known that he kept chumras upon himself. Many of them ended up becoming more widespread, but he didn't necessarily mean that.
More that started incidentally, after something happened, so he decided.
So there are others that were not if something happened. He was just very pious. Anyway, what happened to Maram once? Why did he change his practice?
He found a piece of cheese
between his teeth hours after having cheese. So he said, from now on, I'm waiting between cheese and meat. Okay, the Marashal, quoted in the Shach Sivkat Yud Zayin, says, it's apikorsus to be machmir more than the Gemara. The Maharam was allowed to be, because besides being holy, he had a certain mitzvah that happened to him, so he saw that he was a unique case. His teeth were special. But for the Maharam to be machmir, he'd say, the Gemara is talking about a regular person, and I see that I have a bigger chashash. But for everyone to be machmir is against the Gemara. The Gemara says you don't have to wait between cheese and meat, and we say you do. So the Marshal is the lone voice here. There's a few places where the Marshal is against chumras against the Gemara. not because he's such a liberal, but because he's such a conservative, because he really thinks it'll weaken the Masorah if people, just like it would weaken the Masorah if people were Mako more than the Gemara, it'll weaken the Masorah if people are Machra more than the Gemara, because what happened to your Emunas Chachamim? What happened to your faith in the Masorah? So the Marshal here was against adding Chomer to Basar B'Cholav. No one listened to him. Some people took more Chomer, some people took less Chomer, but everyone took some Chomer, at least all Ashkenazim. Everyone took some Chomer, and they assumed that, no, maybe in other places you can't just add your own halachas and make up your own religion to the Gemara. But since Mar Ukva said that my father had more chumers than I do, that shows that everyone can have different levels of chumers if they feel it's appropriate for them. And therefore, again, the Marshal would say, that's for a unique person. And therefore, our minhag is against the Marshal, you're allowed to have more chumers. So, one marker is the Maharam. Maybe it's Berg. The Maharam. The second possible marker is the Zohar, right? The Maharam had a Maisa Shahaya. The second possible, because what is the Zohar saying? Remember what the Zohar says. Anyone who eats these two foods together or at 1 hour time or in one meal, terrible things happen. So there are two ways to read the Zohar, right? So the question isn't really like, do you believe the Zohar or not believe the Zohar? We all believe the Zohar. Question is, there are two ways to read the Zohar. One way to read the Zohar is, anyone who eats these two foods in the same meal or in the same hour, meat and then milk, and goes against the Gemara, terrible things happen to them. Zohar is telling you what terrible things happen. I'll be sowed if you go against the Gemara. In which case, you know, no chumras. The other way of reading the Zohar is, no, the Zohar is telling you, regardless of which is first, whether the meat is first or the milk is first, the Zohar is going against the Gemara. Oh, how can the Zohar go against the Gemara? So even though in the time they're shown and they didn't believe in possibly the Zohar against the Gemara, because in Basar B'Cholav you're allowed to have more chumras. The Zohar is telling you to have more chumras. Okay, why didn't the Gemara know the Zohar? Okay, you have to figure out answers. There's always answers. No one in the Rishonim and Ahavim in the possibly like Zohar against the Bavli. But over here it's not against, because the Bavli already knew that you could have more chumras. So that's the question. Did the Zohar mean just meat and then milk, and it's just giving you musher to keep the Gemara? Or the Zohar with Minchadish, even milk and then meat is usher, and going against the Gemara. So says the, or adding to the Gemara, says the Zohar, here we're not sure, if it means even milk and then meat. We're not sure which way the Zohar means, right? Does the Zohar mean only meat and then milk and no Chiddush, or even milk? Or even milk and then meat and making a chiddush. So the Zohar might not be a mucker, and the Maharam of Gutenberg might not be a mucker. Maharam of Gutenberg might be his practice, or might be a mucker for us. The Zohar might be repeating the Gemara, or might be adding to the Gemara, and then it would be a mucker for us. So, of course, there's an afkamina between these two. Look, there might be an afkamina between these two. For example, what?
One of them is more than cheese.
They're right, the Zohar doesn't say anything about cheese. The Zohar says, basar and challah, los vashas v'dibah chalekimah. So the nafgamina could be, and what kind of cheese would the Maharam apply to?
Hard.
Hard cheese, right? The Rishonim point out, the Achrona, sorry, I meant point out, that maybe only hard cheese, his reason was clearly the Rambam reason, it's stuck in his teeth. Only hard cheese gets stuck in your teeth. Cottage cheese doesn't get stuck in your teeth, that's too soft. Butter doesn't get stuck in your teeth, that's cream cheese doesn't get stuck in your teeth, that's too soft. But if it's a Zohar, then what does that have to do with, or it's everything. So nafgamina is only hard cheese. Or all milchik. What's another nafkamina? How long do you have to wait? According to the Zohar, even though I saw like one Achron said otherwise, according to Zohar, it's the longest you could have to wait. An hour, because it says b'shat achada. So it might mean at one time less than an hour. Or it might mean an hour. Clearly it can't mean 6 hours. It says shat achada. Right? But according to Marmion Rutenberg, right? 6 hours. Marmion Rutenberg. L'chora, you think 6 hours for the meat between your teeth to disappear. Or 1 hour. Right? So we want to know, if we are machbir, are we machbir, the nafkamina is based on the Zohar, or the nafkamina is based on Maharam Rutenberg? So let's see. Says the Rama yesh machmir afilu b'basar achar gvina. Okay, and the parentheses here, you know the Rama didn't write these parentheses. The Rama didn't write these parentheses. Okay, but I'm just not getting details. The Rama didn't write these parentheses.
Who did?
The printer. I mean printer like some guy who printed, meaning the person who is in charge of the printing, who set it up, and who obviously is a Talmud Chacham. Now, he made mistakes sometimes. Doesn't mean he wasn't a Talmud Chacham, it just means he was human. I mean, obviously he's going to make more mistakes than Rambam would. Because as big a Talmud Chacham is, the Rambam knew what the Rambam meant, and he would have always written it right, because he was himself. Whenever you're trying to say what someone else meant, you're only human and you're bound to make mistakes sometimes. So he made mistakes sometimes, but 99% of the time he didn't, so you can trust it. So here he says, "Inshik Mordechai b'shem Maram." That's Maram. Ubeis Yosef or Chaim Sif Kofayim Gimel, who quotes the Zohar. So we're not sure. V'chein Nogan says that's Menegashkin. Shekol Shakvina Kasha. If it's hard cheese, ain Ochlan Acharefil Basarov. Kemo Begvina Chabar. So we wait just like between meat and milk. We wait between hard cheese and meat, and even between hard cheese and chicken. V'yesh Mekilim. Some are Mekel. In Limchos, you can't object to people being Mekel. It's not an Ikar Din. If someone wants to be Mekel, you can't stop them. Rashi Yas, you can't say they're doing an aver and eating treif. Rashi Yasu Kenuach V'Dachin Tzilzayim. They still have to at least wash and wipe their mouth and wash their hands. Mina Tov LaHachmir, but it is good, meaning proper to be machmir. It is proper to be machmir. So, by the way, so we have this chumrah. So, do we have this chumrah based on the Zohar, or do we have this chumrah based on the Maharam? What does it sound like? Our chumrah is based on the Maharam, because why should the Zohar differentiate between hard cheese and soft cheese? Right, so it seems to be that Minag Ashkenaz, what's Minag Ashkenaz? Is that it's Mutter Lahakel, but Tov means proper, meaning for Ben Torah. Right? Tov doesn't mean like, oh, if you want to be Rav Neven Sol, you know, Tov means that's the recommended practice for anyone who's asking Shilas. It's just that someone has the right to be Makel, but, you know, Yesh Lehachmir Be Gvina. Kasha. This, by the way, is a big machlokes among the kashrus agencies in America. I don't know what the kashrus agencies here hold. The kashrus agencies in America, the big machlokes is, if someplace serves hard cheese, do you have to put up a sign telling people to wait 6 hours? So some kashrus agencies, I know in Flappers, there's one local kashrus agency, that required a sign saying you have to wait 6 hours, because Minhag Ashkenaz.
So if I see where it has signs like, many authorities say.
Yes, or at least many authorities say. No. Some people say you don't have to put up a sign. Since in Limchos Yad Mekilim, someone wants to be Mekel can be Mekel. Someone wants to be Macher will figure it out on his own. You know, since it's not an Ikra Din, you don't have to put up signs. You can leave it to everyone's intelligence.
Why you? They have signs.
Signs?
They have like lasagna or something.
Okay, and why do they have signs? Gavaldic. Okay.
Consider yellow regular.
Well, I'll get there in a second. Okay. Now the question is, how about the Nafkamina is only hard cheese? How would you figure the second Nafkamina? 6 hours or 1 hour? What does the Rama mean?
Probably six.
Right now. It's a little funny because the Ramaz Minhag Ashkenaz is 1 hour anyway. But for us, so says the Shach, only 1 hour, cost of Sefer Tzarech L'Chachma, that since the Ramaz is referring to Minhag Ashkenaz is only 1 hour. He says, just like we do, we only do 1 hour. And then he said, based on the Zohar. So you put the Zohar together with the Ramaz. The Ramaz says, even after meat, it's only 1 hour. He said only 1 hour. However, says the Prima Gadim on that Shach, the Shach Tezayin, Shar Ha'achron Mechmir B'Shei Shos, I have no idea what it means, Kid Zohar. Zohar doesn't say that. But the Shach is a bit of a Das Yachid. He says 1 hour. But you see why no one agrees with him. Because we're not going by the based on the Zohar. We're going based on the Maharam, between your teeth. And between your teeth should be an issue of 6 hours. So the Maisa, even though the Shach says 1 hour, all the Achronim reject him and say the Minhag Ashkenaz is 6 hours, which is consistent. Minhag Ashkenaz to be Choshesh for the Maharam, not to be Choshesh for that possible Pshat in the Zohar. Although we'll come back to that in a moment. So that's Minhag Ashkenaz to be choshev for the Maharam. If you're really stuck, what should you do? Nilanin Daiti, if you're really stuck, a shach is enough to be Mekel on, since it's only a chumra anyway. In Limchos Biyad Mekilim, if you're really stuck, you can be Mekel on the shach, but usually I'm not really stuck. I can't remember ever having been really stuck. But if you're really stuck, you can be Mekel like the shach, but really you should wait 6 hours after hard cheese. Now, just give me two things we have to discuss before we move on. Batali, you want to ask a question?
Yeah, I mean, I think that firstly, we also are machman Oaf, which is something that comes from the Zohar. And also in the Darkei Moshe, he conflates the two, the Zohar and the Maharam.
Correct. The Darkei Moshe does conflate the two. And the Beis Yosef, he's based on the Beis Yosef Nor Chaim, who also conflates the two. And when it comes to Oaf, the Zohar didn't explicitly say Oaf, but did not say Oaf. And Maharam says he wasn't Machmer and Oaf. And the Zohar seemingly was Machmer and Oaf. So Bezalel is saying maybe it's not so Pashat. Although again, it's hard to read Vina Kasha into the Zohar, so that's why I'm more partial to Maharam. But unless you want to say that really the Zohar and the Maharam mean the same thing, the Zohar is worried about the hard cheese between your teeth. That would be reading a lot into the Zohar. So I'm not sure. When Dr. Moshe conflates it, does he mean to like reinterpret the Zohar in light of the Maharam? Or does he mean to say, no, they're somewhat similar, so I'm putting them together, but I know they're two different things. So I'll leave that as an open question. You can have... My preferred interpretation is that even though the Dr. Moshe and the Yosef quote them both together, they know they're two separate things. They just belong in the same paragraph. Because Lemaisa, they're going in the same direction.
Always the Vechains are always vague in these things.
Yes. Okay, but I'm open to.
But I think that would be the pshat in the shach. They saying let's define meal. I'll pee the way and define the hefresh that you need to. And the Zohar seems to be paskening like the 1 hour, like the.
Okay, fair enough. Yes, like the Ramah, as we pointed out in the Gra earlier. Okay, I hear that Lemaisa. People don't say like the Shach, but I definitely hear that. You know, you're making the Shach look very good, which is good. You should, because the Shach was always smart.
The Taz an extra chomer, though, also. The Taz says all food that's gvina, that even if it doesn't fall into the original chumra, if it has taste, it should be like basar.
Okay, give me a second.
Is anyone like the Zohar to wait after?
Okay, great. Now, there's a whole discussion in the Achronim. What about if it's not hard cheese? First of all, what is hard cheese? Let's first define hard cheese. What is hard cheese? Everyone was worried about what is hard cheese. The question is how to translate from their reality to our reality. Keep in mind, technology has changed since the days of the Shach and the Taz. Says the Shach, how do you know when cheese is hard?
Aged 6 months.
Six, if it's aged for 6 months. Says the Taz, how do you know if cheese is hard?
If it's hard.
First, he says, if it has worms. Yeah. Right? By the way, you should know there's a big machlokes in the leader Achronim. Did he mean at first he says it has worms, because if it has worms that the gloy milsa, then it's very old and hard? Or did he mean no, it's really the worms that have the taste in your mouth, because the worms are tastier than the cheese?
Almost like Swiss cheese.
No.
What? No. He means worms.
It's two separate things he's
he
talking
means
about.
Worms.
It's two different
At first, I said
it's
at
different
first.
Cheeses.
I said it first.
What?
First, he discusses the wormy cheese.
He says, oh. Bishir Gvina Kash Sakharama, Hainu Shavra Lov Shisha Khadashim.
Oh Shaya. Okay, fine. First he discussed so 6 months or wormy cheese. Anyway, Lemaisa, we don't have wormy cheese nowadays.
I think he meant
right, just so you should know, in case anyone still believes what they thought when they were six, the holes in Swiss cheese are not made by worms. They're air pockets made by some chemical process. We don't have wormy cheese nowadays.
Maybe that's what he was talking about, whole cheese with holes.
No, the old days, the cheese had worms. Everything had worms.
Everything
had worms. And it was mutter to eat the worms, right? Because worms that grow in cheese are mutter. Right? Like worms in the fish, according to Ravaya. Without getting into that yet. It does seem a little gross to us, but whatever. You should know, my Ikra did a lot of worms are mutter. We're machra most of them nowadays. Anyway, Kitzer says the Taz wormy cheese are 6 months old, says the Shach 6 months old. Then the Taz goes a little further and says that, but... He says, even if it's old. Okay, then he says, even if it's old, but if it's not wormy and it wasn't really processed with a real enzyme, then it's still not going to be hard. Okay, but he seems to assume that, you know, let's forget the wormy cheese, the Shach and the Taz have in common old cheese. Just the Taz says, if it's old cheese that wasn't made with rennet, it's just like old butter or old, like some other kind of so very soft cheese, then you don't have to worry. Okay, the principle seems to be 6 months old. The question how to translate that to modern-day reality is a big machlokas. Rabbi Yashiv is quoted in every sefer as being machmer in this, including your sefer, which I looked at today, thank you. But you should put your name in it.
Okay.
Right. You should always put your name in the star.
You almost all my sperm do have a name. I guess that one is.
Okay. Unless I looked at someone else's comment. No. It was under the windows, like?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So the Rabbi Yashiv is quoted as saying, don't give me this 6 months. That was in the old days when they had a different reality. Nowadays, you know what makes a hard cheese hard cheese? If it's hard, it's hard cheese. And if it's not hard, it's not hard cheese. Those cream cheese is not hard. Cottage cheese is not hard. Any cheese that's hard is hard. And it has nothing to do with 6 months. That was in their technology. We have different technology.
The Mapsis Hashek already said that, no?
Okay, great. So the Rebbe Yashiv passes like the Machzah Shekel.
What does Kasha mean?
I don't know. Okay. No, doesn't matter. The Rebbe Yashiv Paskins like what the Machzah Shekel sounds like.
that hard means hard, meaning all regular cheese is hard cheese, according to Rabbi Yashiv.
American cheese.
American cheese isn't actually cheese. But like vinatsuba, yellow cheese yellow in Israel.
American Israeli cheese that looks like the water.
Yeah, it actually has nothing to do. You know, American cheese is not actually cheese.
Right.
It's like made of like chemicals and milk and a little cheese.
The American, the Israeli.
But yeah, regular. The Israeli regular cheese, the regular cheap kind of cheese in Israel, right? That everyone uses, like you know, to make like cheese toasts. That's grilled cheese. Toast in modern day Hebrew means grilled cheese. It doesn't mean toast. The Hebrew word toast means grilled cheese. You should just know. Like if you go and ask someone for toast, the it means grilled cheese.
How do you say
if you actually want toasted bread, yeah, you asked for snimim. Go ahead. Yeah, try it in a restaurant. Okay, well now you know. Baduku menuse. Okay, now, Rabosai. Yes.
Just to clarify, when we say 6 months in the olden days, that meant 6 months when the cheese was created.
Give me a second. Give me a second. Okay. So, Lemaisa, what's hard cheese? Says Rabbi Yashiv, if it's hard, you can pick it up and you can hit someone with it, then it is hard cheese. Which means he's macro on everything.
Shredded mozzarella?
That's hard cheese. I mean, you shred it, doesn't change it. L'chora. Okay, that is not the minhag. The minhag is to take the shach and the taz and say they're still apply nowadays. It's only hard cheese if it was aged for 6 months. And in the Masorah, volume 20, you know, the Masorah Journal for the OU, volume 20, Rav Belsky and Lahavdil ben Chaim L'Chaim, Rav Schechter, right, the two poskim of the OU, until Rav Belsky passed away, both write that the 6 months, the minhag is to only count the time the cheese is processed in the factory when it is curdled and whatever happens to it, a certain chemical process. The time that it sits on the shelf in the supermarket, refrigerated, or you could put in your freezer for 6 months, that doesn't count because it doesn't chemically change in that time. Like they stop the chemical process and then refrigerate it, and then it stays the same. So that is the minhag olam. The minhag olam is only cheeses that are aged for 6 months are a problem. Cheeses that you happen to have bought 6 months ago and put in your freezer, you know, or you know, they happen to be made aged for 3 months, and then they don't expire for another 4 months, and so it's been 6 months, and they haven't expired yet, that's mutter. So that's the minhag olam. It's only hard cheese, A, not like Rabbi Yosef, it's 6 months, and we only count the processing time. Lemaisa, what does that mean? I have a list here from the OU website of every kind of cheese. Lemaisa, what that means is that
very few, right?
There's only two kinds of cheese that are hard cheese. One is fancy cheese. It's hard cheese, like Swiss cheese and other like expensive gourmet types of cheese.
Swiss cheese is hard cheese.
Okay, so it says right here that American Swiss cheese is not real Swiss cheese, but Swiss cheese is. Meaning, okay, ask any European. What's in Europe and America? In America, they do everything sort of halfway, not real quality, right? Yeah. So that's a European perspective on America. So American Swiss cheese is sort of fake Swiss cheese. So that's only aged for 3 or 4 months. But Swiss cheese, the real deal, is aged at least 6 months. So basically, like Swiss cheese and other fancy expensive cheeses, and Parmesan. Almost all Parmesan is aged 6 months. It usually says, meaning that's a shevach, right? It's like, it makes you want to buy it. So it always says age 6 months, so it's chashev, you know, just like the scotch says age 18 years. So it says age 6 months, so you'll know that it's worth spending a lot of money on it because it's really high quality. So Parmesan cheese and expensive, fancy gourmet cheeses that, you know, don't taste good. those are hard cheese or acquired taste.
I love this.
You probably also like the scotch.
No.
I'm a very simple person. I don't like any of the things that are more expensive because they don't taste good. I never got a proper, sophisticated taste. So basically, like Swiss cheese and fancy cheeses that are, you know, the ones that are not, that are a little bitterish, and that cost a lot of money, and Parmesan cheese, you have to wait. Regular cheese, we don't have to wait, which means that most of the things we eat most of the time in our houses, we don't have to worry about.
Restaurants have a lot of Parmesan cheese.
So in restaurants, some of the Parmesan cheese. So with Parmesan cheese, then you have to be
melted. Isn't there a shiloh if it's melted?
But it usually isn't. Like usually in the restaurants, just sprinkled on your salad. So there's a whole big discussion here. What about, so that's the Okay, I'm not going to put it on the board. The getter of hard cheese. There's a big machlokis. What if the Yad Yehuda has a kula, the Bar Yishlochan doesn't like it, that if you melt the cheese, if you cook the cheese, then if you cook the cheese or you melt it, then it's not hard anymore. It gets soft, so you don't have to wait 6 months. Now, clearly, if you would like cook the cheese as an ingredient into something and it like disappears, pasha to me, Mekel. But what if, like, no, you have a layer of cooked cheese? So, I don't know. I'm not the Rambam in Rutenberg. I'm not such a holy guy. But I recently found cheese stuck between my teeth after eating, like, lasagna where the cheese was melted and cooked. But it was a whole layer of melted cheese. And afterwards, I found cheese between my teeth. So, I don't know.
It wasn't Parmesan, was it?
Well, the truth is, it wasn't even hard cheese. So what does that prove?
No, so Rabbi's new machlokes Rabbi
Yashiv. I don't know. Anyway, Lemaisa, Rabbi Forrest on page 209 is mekel on cooked cheese. So Nira said, since there's only a chumra anyway, Nira lahakel, you know, and if you have these shilas of hard cheese and you're being mekel, it's necessary to brush your teeth and be on the safe side.
But like when you melt Parmesan, it doesn't fully melt, so.
So it depends what you mean. Like, if you just put it on half food.
No, you put it in the dish.
Does it? I have no idea.
You still see it at the end.
Right, that's the thing. Like, you still see it at the end. But, right, forces make a anyway.
Even with that, okay.
Yeah. So, okay, yay, shmukam lahakel with cooked Parmesan. Since it's only chumra anyway.
What in the lasagna and why you?
I have no idea.
Maybe it's a sign.
Yes, obviously in YU they put up the sign.
Isn't there a middle sheet that
says that some authorities maybe they
I don't know, maybe we can't count it. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Anyway, bye.
Does aging cheese actually make it harder, like physically?
Yeah, I think so.
So like, when you melt it, then it should obviously be melted now.
That's okay, that's what the Yehuda says. But it gets tricky because there might be hardness and there might be like stringiness and okay. But lemaisa, there's only chumra b'alma anyway. Definitely yeshivakim lahakel, especially now that we went to toothbrushes. So brush your teeth and be on the safe side, and then you'll be okay. What are the odds you can have cheese between your teeth if you brush your teeth? Very slim. Okay, that is as far as Maharam and Rutenberg. The question is, what about the Zohar? We seem to have forgotten about the Zohar because we only said hard cheese. What about stam milk products? So here there are different minhagim. There are different minhagim. There are machmir about this. I don't think you have to be machmir. I'm a Mishnah Berurah yid. But the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tav Tzadi Daled Hilchos Shavuos discusses all these inyanim because in the old, it seems like in Europe, like this didn't come up a lot. Their way their eating schedule worked out, they didn't have a lot of shilos. But on Shavuos, they had to squeeze in the meat and the milk. And according to the Ramah, it sounds like you even have to squeeze it in one meal. So then they had all the shaylas, and you see, like, tremendous diunim in the Achronim, Hilchos Shavuos. Can you be mekel in Shavuos more than all year long on basar v'chalav in order to be mekayim, the mitzvah hayom of eating milk and meat on Shavuos? The minhag hayom, right? And we paskin, says the Mishnah Berurah, according to Pimgadim, everyone, that lamaisa, it's very nice, they have these Cuban hug them on Shavuos, but you can't be mekel even 1 centimeter, even 1 millimeter on Shavuos more than all year long, and that's our accepted psak. We're not mekel on, we have no kulas and basar b'chalav on Shavuos, right? It's nice to be kind of the men hug, but do it without violating health of basar b'chalav. Okay, the whole discussion there. So there are two discussions. One, the Zohar says, besudas achata, one meal. So did it mean meat and milk can't be in one meal, which we all agree, or that milk and meat can't be in one meal. So here, do you between milk and meat, in that order. So says the Minchas Yaakov, in Siman Ayin Vav Sivkat and Hay, says the Minchas Yaakov, ve'od alpi de Zohar, ve'erkas ha-mozom.
How early was the Minchas Yaakov?
The Minchas Yaakov was the I don't remember for sure. I think he was around 1700.
Okay.
I don't know which side.
Is he the one who wrote the Perush on the Toras Chatas or the Rama?
That is, the Minchas Yaakov is the Perush on the Toras Chatas. He also wrote tons of other Svarim, like the Torah HaShlomim on the bottom of Shulchan Aruch. Yes, and the Chok Yaakov on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Pesach, and the Shvus Yaakov. He wrote a ton of Svarim. He's very chashuv. Yaakov Reicher, very chashuv. The Minchas Yaakov says the Minchas Yaakov You have to bench based on the Zohar. You can't have it in one meal. Says the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Brura in Siman Tov Tzadik Daled, which I hope is Ochos Shavuos. Nope. Nothing. You don't have to bench. Clearly you don't have to bench in the Shulchan Aruch, right? It's clear in the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch, you don't have to bench between milk and meat. Between meat and milk you have to bench, not between milk and meat. Okay, says the Minchas Yaakov and others, but based on the Zohar, you do. We have Chomers based on the Zohar. You're allowed to be more machmir. Says the Mishnah Brura, quoting the Magen Avraham, Shmos, no, you don't. Okay, they're different in Hagen.
There are muscles, that's why the whole reason why we
yes.
read is because of Shtei Alechem, and we have
yes,
to read in the same meal.
Yes, so there are muscles that way. Lemaisa, in my humble opinion, I think that the more mainstream minhag is like the Mishnah Brura. Okay, no one's going to get in trouble after Meir Ben Ezra following the Mishnah Brura. That we don't have to be choshesh that the Zohar meant to add on to the Bavli. The Zohar meant don't have meat and then milk. Right? And therefore, you can have milk and then meat in the same meal. You have to kinuach hadach and til shidayim. But you don't have to bench in between. And that's my personal practice. Whenever I'm makban on meat for Simchas Yontiv or Simchas Purim or whatever, and my wife or the host wants to have a milchik meal, I always say, have whatever meal you want, just have some roast for dessert. And I do kinuach hadach and til shidayim and have roast for dessert. Okay, like the Mishnah Berurah. But there are many who are machra, especially among the Hasidim. I think it's Pasha to be machra.
Would the Minchas Yaakov also be machra to wait an hour?
Yes, not only would he does in the same sentence.
So it's not just about the actual.
Okay, well, that's what I was about to say.
Oh, sorry.
Then there's issue B. Says the Minchas Yaakov, the Ode, Al Pi the Zohar, you also have to wait an hour. Because the same for Sudasa Chada, Shata Chada. You have to wait an hour. You have to bench and wait an hour between any milk and meat. Nothing to do with hard cheese. Based on the Zohar. Says the Mishnah Berurah, you don't. Just Kinuach Adach Nihil Zadayim, like it says in the Shulchan Aruch. I mean, there's also the Shulchan Aruch, right? I mean, the Shulchan Aruch also knew the Zohar. The Bechaber also knew the Zohar. He quoted the Zohar. And it didn't bother him. Says that you don't. The Aruch HaShulchan, by the way, says in Nan HaShavus in here. He says, there are many who are machmer based on the Zohar to bench and wait an hour. And some people are machmer that way, but most people are not. Most feels minig is not to. Okay, so the minhag of the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Brura is nothing. Kinuach hadach until today, but you don't have to wait any time because we follow the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch. Not that possible interpretation of the Zohar. The minhag among many Hasidim is half an hour. There's a funny Mishnah Lachos, Chelek Vav, Simon Kuf, Lamed Hey, where someone asked him, says, I looked at all the Sfarim for this minhag that all us Hasidim have of waiting half hour between milk and meat. And I couldn't find any makor for it. So where'd it come from? The Mishnah says, what are you talking about? I give you 100 makoros of people who are machmir to wait an hour between milk and meat. Which is a little cheating. Yeah. The guy also knew he could find makoros to wait an hour. He knew how to find Minchas Yaakov and, you know, all the achronim who follow him. And all the achronim don't. But he said, where did half an hour come from? A lot of Hasidim, it's makobel. Not only Hasidim, a lot of people in YU. I asked them, wasn't there many? They say, when I grew up, my parents told me to wait half an hour between milk and meat. So the Mishnah Halacha says, what's half an hour between milk and meat? So it cheats a little bit, says, oh, there's so many mikoros for an hour. Are you kidding? That's our Mesorah. And he says in the end, and why do we do half an hour? He says, sir, he and why we only do half an hour? He says, maybe it's a compromise. The Gemara says zero, and the Zohar says an hour, so we compromise on half an hour, which is a little funny. And he also thinks that's funny. And then he says, maybe the Zohar is labdavka. When the Zohar says an hour, it means a while, and it's half an hour.
It's a kid.
Yeah, even the Zohar doesn't say. Yeah, maybe. And Zohar's hour, half an hour is an hour. Okay, so he's basically, there's no great makor for this minute to wait a half hour. Meaning, and no one nowadays is minute to wait an hour. Meaning, I'm sure someone, but not many people. So it's funny. The minhag of an hour is in lots of achronim, not common nowadays. The minhag to wait nothing is in the Mishnah Berurah, lots of achronim, and the Shulchan Aruch, and that's common nowadays. The minhag of a half hour, though, is common nowadays, not as, you know, but it's very hard to figure out what the makor is, you know, and let's say the Zohar is lav davka, but saying that's not so fush. This is the minhag of Tzas
some people is to wait a half an hour. It's not only Hasidim, or maybe some Gentiles or Hasidim, I don't know. Okay, where the meaning of a half hour come from? It's hard for me to say for sure. Niralani is daiti to say a chiddush. The Achronim argue about if those people wait an hour. Remember the Shach and Taz argued, when the Dutch people wait an hour between meat and milk, do they need Kinuach Vadach or not? Okay, how about us people, regular people, if we would have the minute to wait an hour between milk and meat, do we still need Kinuach Vadach until the dime, or after an hour we don't? They argue. They also argue, the Hasidim wait half an hour. After half hour, do you still need Kinuach Vadach until the dime or not? Okay, they argue about it. Niralani is daiti to give a different hesber for the minute of half an hour. Not it's based on the Zohar with a compromise, or it's based on the Zohar with a lav davka. I have a different hesber for the minute of half hour. Really, the minute wasn't to wait a half hour. Really, it's that after half hour, you don't need kinuach hadach and teal zedayim anymore. Because after half hour, it's not samach anymore. It's already different. There's a break, right? It's the half hour samach in halacha. After half hour, you don't need kinuach hadach and teal zedayim. So it could be, in order not to forget and be complicated and not to confuse people, people started waiting a half hour, and that way they wouldn't need kinuach hadach and teal zedayim. Okay, that's also a theory, which is saying it's based on something else, so it's a theory. I'm not saying I know that my theory is better than his, but that's my third theory. It's not based on the Zohar at all. It's based on the Gemara. The Gemara says, kinuach hadach and teal zedayim. For how long? Obviously not 6 hours later, obviously not 4 hours later, obviously not 3 hours later. Where do you draw the line? They drew the line at samach. And samach in halachic language means half an hour. So really the minig was, you wait a half hour, so that way you don't have to do kinuach hadach until zedayim, and the kids won't get confused about how to do kinuach hadach until zedayim. And then it just became waiting half hour to make life simple. Okay, kach nirlan is daik b'hazbir the minhag. It's a theory, you know, it's lomal of lomorid. Except for the fact that nirlan is daik b'lohakel, that you don't have to have this minhag. I'm a mishnah b'riyat. I wait 0 minutes and I don't bench between milk and meat. I just do kinuach hadach until zedayim. But nirlan is daik, if it had been half an hour, I wouldn't do kinuach hadach until zedayim. Okay, I'll take the cool of my theory. It's not my theory, of many achronim say this, meaning I'll take the most makel day in the poskim. The most makel day in the poskim is after half hour you don't need kinuach hadach until zedayim. That makes sense, and I think that's the minhag. If someone had, I think most people I know, if you had a chocolate bar half an hour ago, you don't do kinuach hadach until zedayim. So nirlan is daiti that I'd be makel not to require kinuach hadach. It doesn't say anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch after how long do you not need it. Nirlan is daiti to be makel half an hour.
Look, I hear this far more to not do kinuach hadach after 30 minutes.
I hear this svara. You know, so how long? It's interesting. How long does dirt stay on your hand? Now, of course, it all depends how sticky the dirt is, right? You know, I'm always in favor of using common sense. In any case, right?
Like after some time passes, like it's not really food anymore. It dries out, it loses all its moisture.
Right. Niralani is daiti. Check yourself. Half hour if you're eating things. I bet you very rarely have much on your hands.
Right.
Okay, Viter. Ooh. Okay. What time is it actually? Oh, it's late. Okay. They never change the clock. Right? Okay, that's fine. In another 2 months, it'll be good. Why waste energy? My son just like asked me, like someone messed up the time on his watch. He asked me, could I set it to an hour earlier than the time is? Because it's been that way since March and he's used to it, and it would be confusing if it had the right time. All right, Seder. Anyway, Gimel. Okay, who's in charge of taking pictures? Hello. Sif Gimel.
Lots to do.
Sif Gimel. The Gemara says two things on the top of the chain with these. Netilas Yadayim, Beitavshel, Etavshel is Rishus. Beitavshel, Legvina is Chova. And here we have a Chotzi near Kevin Rashbam and obviously other people as to what it's talking about. What is Beitavshel, Etavshel, Rishus, and what is Beitavshel, Legvina, Chova? So, they argue about both of those lines. It's not necessarily totally Chobaha, but we'll go with that. Says the Gemara. Bein tavshil le tavshil rishos. Says Rabbeinu Tam. What does it mean, Rishos? Bein Tam Shel Bina V'Tam Shel Basar. Yeah. If you didn't eat meat and milk, the end. Now, by Tam Shel, I don't mean cooked meat. Cooked meat is... You always eat cooked meat. Who eats raw meat, right? It doesn't mean if you eat cooked meat. Cooked meat is meat. Cooked cheese is cheese. What it means is something without pieces of meat, but with the taste of meat. Like tavshil basar is, you eat the beans and potatoes from the cholent, right? Sometimes people do that. They're vegetarian or whatever, you know, or they just don't like the meat, whatever. So don't do this if you don't like the ashgach on the meat, because we'll see that Tom Kirker is probably daraisa. But they don't like to eat the meat, so they only pick out the beans and the potatoes, right? So that's a tavshil. They didn't eat basar. They had something that was cooked with basar. That's called a tavshil basar. Or if they don't do this so much nowadays. In the old days, right, they talk about frying the eggs. Now we fry the eggs with more healthy things. They would fry the eggs in schmaltz, in meat fat. They're not eating any meat, just right, like...
That's Friday telling. Hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah, okay. But I think they would also, like, fry. They talk about frying. Like, I think mom... Like where we use margarine, or we spray that Pam, or whatever it's called, you know, they would use schmaltz. They would use meat fat. So it just has... And what's tavshil gvina? Tavshil gvina is the same thing. It doesn't mean you have, like, pieces of cheese in your tavshil. That's gvina. What it means is that you had a recipe, you included some milchik in the recipe. There's milk in the recipe, but you don't see any pieces of cheese. Okay, that's tavshil basar or tavshil gvina, right? You have, you have cake that has milk in the recipe. That's tavshil basar and tavshil gvina.
That's not gvina, that's like chol, meaning that's supposed to chol because you're not actually eating meat.
No, they still consider that to be tavshil.
That's tavshil.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not bay anymore?
Because it's not bay. Okay, so Rabbeinu Tam says, rishos, you don't have to wash your hands between tavshil and tavshil, since it's not bay, they weren't gozer. Says the Rashbam, no. This is... Ben tavshil basar, the tavshil basar, obviously, or tavshil gvina, tavshil gvina. That's rishos. Aval ben tavshil basar, the tavshil gvina is chova. Now, Rabbi Tam says, what's rishos? It's between a milchik dish and a milchik dish, a fleshy dish and a fleshy dish. Why is that a halachic discussion? Like, there's no such thing. So says Rashbam. No, they're talking here about what do you call what Emily Post writes about? The proper manners. What? Oh, I'm missing an. Every year I live here, I forget another English word. Doesn't matter. I remember it when I go home. Anyway, so they're talking here about manners. They say Rashbam says Rashbam. Between one fleishik stew and another fleishik stew, it's rishos. It's optional. If you want to have very good manners, you should wash your hands. I mean, din derech eretz. But it's optional. You don't have to have such a high standard of derech eretz. But between tavshil basar and tavshil gvina, of course you have to wash your hands. Says Rabbeinu Tam, no. Between tavshil basar and tavshil gvina, it's optional to wash your hands. Okay, then the next line of the Gemara is, but being tavshil ligvina... Chova to wash your hands. Says Rabbeinu Tam, he reads a kapshuto. Bein tavshil basar ligvina chova lito yadav. But what does that mean? What don't you have to do?
Wait.
You don't have to wait. Says Rashbam, no way. Says Rashbam, what this really means is bein gvina L'tavshil basar chova lito yadav. Or as you say, yeah, between gvina and between tavshil basar and the gvina you ate beforehand. He switches the order. Obviously, it's a little dachot. That's when he says that is chova. But bein tavshil basar ligvina chayav lehamtin. Wait 6 hours, mafito. If the tavshil basar, you have to wait before you eat. Okay, so we have to figure out. We have to figure out how we paskin.
Do we assume that in the tavshil, if there's milk, do we assume the milk gets in the whole thing?
In generally, yes.
So I don't really get as far as the chalik here. I mean, if there's something on your hand that has milk in it, then it's possible to fall. If there's not something on your hand, what's the difference?
Okay, the difference probably is that the taste won't be noticeable in your mouth, and it won't get in your hands, and the...
We assume tavshil is less likely to get stuck in your hand than gvina.
No, but there won't be milk on your hands. You know, there'll be milk. The amount of milk in the tachshuls on your hands might not be significant. So it's a good question. You know, let me make an easier answer. Since all of this is gzeiros d'rabbanan, just because it like looks like and seems like basar b'chalav, so it only goes there when you really notice the basar b'chalav. Okay, says the mechaber. Achol tavshil basar motol echol achrov tavshil gvina vanetila beinehem ein el rishus. If you ate tavshil basar, you can eat tavshil gvina afterwards, and it's only optional to do netila beforehand. The mechaber is passing like Rabbi Yotam. You know what, let me say this.
Are you allowed to eat tashul b'chalav after eating meat?
Let me just say this a little better. Not tashul. Says mechaber, from tashul basar to tashul gvina, optional to wash your hands. You certainly know what to wait, and washing your hands is optional. Add the ramah, v'yesh matzrichim netila.
What happened in 6 hours?
Neither of them are worried about 6 hours. They only argue, why 6 hours after actual meat or actual milk? Here, you don't have meat or milk, just tavshil basar and tavshil chalav. Neither, you don't have to wait 6 hours.
You don't have to wait 6 hours.
So far. Give me a second. Okay. Avolim balechol agvina atzmacher tavshil basar, or basar atzmacher tavshil gvina chovel yisol yadav. But if you're eating actual cheese after tavshil basar, or actual meat after tavshil gvina, then chova lito yada. Pasuk is the mechaber between tavshil basar and gvina. Chova lito yada. Across the board, like Rabbeinu Tam. Add the Rama. Two things. First, v'shuman shel basar dinu kabasar atzmo. Shuman shel basar, meat fat counts as meat, right? We pointed out that's being machmir like Rashi against the Rambam. For the Rambam, why would you have to wait 6 hours after meat fat? It's not between your teeth. But for Rashi, what does he think? Meat fat is not tavshil. Meat fat is meat. You have to wait 6 hours. And there's a machlok zachronim brought down in the Taz. How about meat gravy? What they call marak. Meat gravy. On the one hand, it's liquid. It's not so meaty. It's mixed with water. But on the other hand, it is pure meat taste. So the machlok is rishonim about meat gravy. And here he quotes the machlok is between the Hagos Maimonios and the Rina Yona. Then he points out, but if you have meat soup with vegetables, you for sure have to wait 6 hours. If you look inside, the reason is because there are always pieces of meat hiding between the vegetables. It's not because of the vegetables, because there are always pieces of meat hiding in the vegetables. Okay, so meat fat counts as meat. Meat gravy is a machlokes. But we'll see that's not so relevant, because v'nog v'akshav l'hachmir. Our meaning nowadays to be machmir anyway. Shlo lechol gvina achar tavshel basar k'marcho basar atzmo v'ein l'shano so lifrotz geder. Our minig is to wait 6 hours and not eat milk at all after tavshil basar, just like after basar itself. So basically, it doesn't matter that shuman basar is the basar. We're machmir and tavshil basar anyway. It doesn't matter. The machlok should show them whether marak basar, gravy, or soup of meat has the din of meat. Because we're machmir and tavshil basar anyway. Basically, we're machmir halacha psuka for Ashkenazim. If someone says, I'm only going to pick the beans and potatoes out of the cholent so I won't be fleishik, they might be right according to the Mechaber and Rabbeinu Tam, but they're wrong. Minig Ashkenaz b'imach were like the Rashbam. That between Tavshil Basar Levina, you have to wait 6 hours. And the Ramah is very harsh about this. This isn't one, Ein Limchos B'yad HaMekilim, you know. No, it's Ein L'shanos L'vos Gader. You can't be poured together. That's an absolute requirement on all Ashkenazim. It seems to me that he's not passing like the Rashbam Ikra Din. It seems like he's passing like the Rashbam as a Chumrah, which will make a difference, right? Because he doesn't say Yesh Omrim, he says Nagu L'Hachmir. So it sounds like he's passing like the Rashbam is a Chumrah, which will make a difference. But that's a Chumrah. If someone picks out the beans from the cholent, they still have to wait 6 hours. Halacha psuka for Ashkenazim. No two ways about it for many Ashkenaz. Okay, we still have more details to get into. But first, let us do the famous Rav Shechter Kula. Mihu, im ein basar betav shel, raksin is bashal mikdeir shel basar. What if it's not fleshik at all? It was just made in a fleshik pot. Right? We're not talking about you pick out of the cholent or you eat a carrot from the chicken soup. It's vegetable soup, just in a fleshik pot. Fleshik equipment. Yeah, fleshik equipment. There's no impossible minik there. Of course you don't have to wait after something from a meat pot. That's no problem. So if you're eating pirate food, it doesn't matter what it was cooked in. That's not a problem. The poskim say likewise. It's Shlomo Kluger and Shutta of Tamidas. And the other poskim say like, well, okay, let's get that.
It doesn't matter how old the pot is, you just cooked.
Doesn't matter how old the pot is. Even Ben Yomo. Yes. Now, here, this is a bigger chiddush than you think. Why is it a bigger chiddush than you think? The heter of when don't you need to wait? Right? Ein chiyov lehamtin. You don't have to wait. Achar tavshel shenisbashel biktira bisarit. In the Achronim, they didn't have k'deira bisarit. They would write k'deira basar. That's no significance to that. Okay. The Achvishach is a kasha here. He says, what's the chiddush? We're going to learn in Siman Sadi Hey that may ikar hadin, if you cook parv in a fleshik pot, even if the pot was used today, ben yomo, it's parv. Not only don't you have to wait, you can even mix it with milk. You can even eat it together with milk. Me'ikradin, I'm not saying you should try this at home, because Ashkenazim are machber l'chachilu, but me'ikradin, if I cook vegetable soup in a fleshik pot, I can mamish put cheese into the vegetable soup and eat it. Obviously, I transfer it into a different bowl, and put cheese in the vegetable soup and eat it. It's of course it's par. It's pasha that it's par. That's called not bar not. No same time bar, no same time. A secondary transfer of taste. The meat transferred to the pot transferred to the vegetable soup. Pasha that is mutter. If I cook pasta in a fleshik pot, then I can make it into macaroni and cheese. Me'ikradin. So it's pasha. What's the chiddush? Obviously it's mutter. So what's the chiddush? So there are two theories what the chiddush is.
There are mutter and pasta.
That's what the Prima Gadim talks about. But that's not an answer given by the poskim. The main reason they don't give that that answer is because the Ramah here is quoting Mefurish Beis Yosef, who does Paskin that way. So that would be an answer to the Ramah, but that would just beg the question, what does Beis Yosef mean? So that's the main reason. But look at the Prima Gadim, he is Marach about this. So there are two theories. One theory is the Shach, and one theory is the Rehiba Eger. Says the Shach, the Chiddush is even a dirty pot. Even if the meat pot was schmutzy and actually had some meat residue left in it. So you're not just dealing with a pot. There's a little meat residue in here. You still don't have to wait 6 hours.
This is a little, I'm just understanding that by not. Is not by not saying that if I cook fleshik and then milchik, the milchik food actually isn't traced to
no.
The pot is?
No, it only works for fleshik and parv. Not for fleshik and then milchik.
But if we say that the transfer, then the milk, okay.
We only say that's true when we're dealing with something that's still mutter. The basic, the executive summary is that if the second transfer is something treif, then that's totally treif. But if the second transfer is something kosher, then it's so weak that it can't become treif when it has a third transfer. So like if I have the spaghetti, it's so weak by now it can't become treif when I have the cheese. Okay. So Shach is even a dirty pot. Says the Pesachei Tshuva Sivkot in Zayin. Says, what's the case of a dirty pot? If the schmutz in the pot is less than a 60th, then there's no chiddush, of course, bitul b'shishim. So the chiddush must be even if it's more than a 60th meat. The pot is dirty and has more than a 60th. You have vegetable soup with more than a 60th meat schmutz. Well, then it's a real chiddush, no? It's a nice chiddush, no? So the chiddush is add the Pesachei Tshuva, even if the meat gravy is not batal b'shishim, meaning even if it's mamish fleshik, and mamish is more than the 60th meat, you still don't have to wait 6 hours. Oh, what's the svara? It's mamish fleshik.
Is that meat gravy?
No, it could be meat fat.
Is there a little piece of meatball that's still in the bottom?
Yeah, or let's say you found a little piece of meatball in the bottom of your vegetable soup. And, okay, you took out the meatball and put it someplace else. You're not eating the meatball. But the meatball was more than the 60th. It gave more than the 60th taste. Yeah.
Even if you do eat the mamashes?
Not if you eat the meatball.
No, it's a tiny piece of meatball then. What do you don't know? I mean, there's a possibility that you don't...
Then I don't know. I'm not.
But you definitely think he's saying that I could just take out the rest of the
pot. No, because when he's saying dirty pot, he means there's like schmutz on the pot. He doesn't mean there's meatballs on the pot. In the Shach days, someone left a meatball on a pot. They ate it. They didn't have enough food.
No, but
sometimes you
see the schmutz in your.
Everyone was hungry.
But you have to take the schmutz out if you see the schmutz bad.
Yeah.
But you still won't have to wait after.
Right. Now this is a tremendous chiddush. Even though it's more than a 60th meat, you don't have to wait. Why? That's fleshik gomer. Explains the body of Shulchan. Explains the Badei Shulchan that, after all, what if I have a recipe That requires some meat fat that's more than a 60th. And I make it. Of course I have to wait 6 hours. That's tavshil basar. So what's the difference? If the recipe is a tavshil basar, or if it happens to be a dirty pot, if it ends up the same thing, explains the Badei HaShulchan, that's the difference. The difference is whether it was the recipe or whether it was an accident. Since we only are machmir as a chumran a tavshil shel basar, not meyikra din, we're only knowing to be machmir when it's a purposeful tavshil shel basar. But if it's a mistake, an accidental, dirty part of tavshil basar, we weren't machmir. I hear what Oren's saying. You could add that in. But he was saying maybe like it's not such a good taste if it's by accident. But that's I'm just not willing to make that assumption because you never know.
Doesn't the Shach say that basically explicitly? Meaning, why are you need the Badei HaShulchan?
Okay. Okay, just to explain. Never hurts to explain.
Doesn't really.
Anyway, Lemaisa, that's a big kuba. Now, how often does this come up? It doesn't come up a ton nowadays because we generally wash our pots. Give me a second, because we generally wash our pots. So it doesn't come up a ton nowadays, right? But where would it come up? Let's say I had French fries in the YU calf, and someone accidentally might have used like the tongs or the meat on the French fries and gotten some meat juice in the French fries. Why wait 6 hours? So the answer is no. Even if there's meat juice in the French fries, and even if a taka had a tam busser, was halachically considered busser, since that was just dirt by accident, that wasn't like part of the identity of the food, we're not knowing to be machmir, not going to tavshil basar, and I don't have to wait 6 hours. Okay, that's where it might come up. But we don't use dirty pots nowadays. Don't come up as much. What's the famous machlokes of Shechter and everyone else in the world? right? It's probably still not worth it to follow all of Rav Shechter's psakim because he has a lot of chumras. And this one is like cute, but it's not a game changer. But Rav Shechter's famous kula is, what about many stores in Eretz Yisrael? I don't know how it works in America, where you get fries or falafel, and they fry them in the same oil as the meat, right? It's a fleishik falafel place. And it's not normally, let's say there's a fleishik place and you bought something parif. Then you would use the shach's heter. Obviously you wouldn't eat it with milk. That's pasha. If I get something from a fleishik restaurant, I'm not going to mix it with cheese, because who knows what's in it, and vice versa. If I buy something in a milchik bakery, I'm not going to mix it with meat, because who knows what's in it. But this is the shach's heter. Maybe it accidentally got a drop of meat spilled on it, whatever. I don't have to wait 6 hours for that. What about a place where they purposely always fry one oil, and they deep fry everything in the same oil, the fries and the falafel and the kebab and the schnitzel and everything in the same oil. So, do I have to wait 6 hours after those fries or not? Do we say, that's like the heter of the shah? They're not trying to make a concoction of a schnitzel fry stew that I have to eat the fries of. No, just they want to save money on the oil. But it's not like, you don't think the fries are from something fleishik. Or do you say no? The shach was when there was accidental dirt, not when they're reusing the whole oil. No, the whole oil is, A, it's not an accident, they're doing it on purpose, even though it's for technical reasons, and B, it's not just a little dirt. It's like, that's the oil they're frying it in. That's like the majority of what they're putting in there. So, it's very hard to tell, because if Badei Shulchan's right, that it's just a matter of the contours of the minhag. When were they knowing to be machmir, when were they not? So go know the exact contours of the minhag. Lemaisa, how about the fries and the fleishik oil? Yeah, not the fries that got splashed a little from when they were frying the schnitzel. That's part of the heter of the shach. The fries that were purposely made in the fleishik oil, you should know. Some places, in no place, will the hashgacha say the fries are parif. Because that would be irresponsible, having you guarantee the fries are parif. But in some places, the normal practice is they have a fryer for meat, and a fryer for pariv, just because it's convenient that way or for whatever reason. So in my humble opinion, if you go to some place where they have a schnitzel fryer and a falafel fryer, might they have put it in the wrong thing? They might have, but I think then you can rely on that. They follow their normal routine, and you don't have to wait 6 hours.
Have it with milk?
No, chas v'shalom. No, anything in a fleishik store I wouldn't have with milk. Yeshkvold. Anything in fleishik store.
That's considered fleishik equipment.
Yeah, anything in fleishik store I wouldn't have with milk. That's ridiculous. But waiting 6 hours, keep in mind, for Ashkenazim, it's not so plush, you have to wait anyway. Right? But let's say you're in fleishik, they have one oil. So here is the famous machlokas. What about the fleishik oil? Or what if it's fried in flation oil. I don't mean fried in meat fat. No one does that nowadays. I just mean in the oil they fry the schnitzel. So here, Rav Schechter says, mutter, you don't wait 6 hours. We ask him, every time he comes to Gross Guys, ask him again. Because they don't believe like the guys from last year. But it's true. And the Minhag HaOlam is that it's Osir. No, we don't take the Shach that far. That's too far to take the Shach. So if you are a Talmud Mavuk or a Schechter, you can be Mako. But the Minhag HaOlam is being Machmer that if they fry it in the same oil, they only have one oil thing, they fry in the same oil. Then if they're normal minhag to fry in the same oil, then you have to wait 6 hours. That's a real Tavshil Shel Basar. That's not just a dirty pot. Rav Schechter says it's a dirty pot. It's just a technicality.
So in a place where like they have falafel and the shawarma, they tell you to use the same kelim mamish to like serve the same thing that they're using to smear on your hummus and stuff like that. That also is worth it.
I think that's the hedra of the shach. That's a dirty kli. Okay. Unless they have pieces of shawarma. If they have pieces of shawarma, that's the end.
Why
that's
that
more chomer. What?
That's like low hooks.
No, because there's something that's low hooks. It all melts in because you're making a soup. You make a soup, everything melts.
So assume they'll like wipe it off quickly.
Yeah, so let's assume you don't see, if you don't see any pieces of shawarma, you don't have to wait 6 hours. Okay. That's the shach. You don't have to wait 6 hours. It's similar enough to the shach that I'm comfortable. Right. But that's not the same as our shechters.
No, because they'll tell you cheskat besaria.
It's definitely cheskat besaria, yeah.
Just to clarify, Rav Schechter would say even if you wanted, if the restaurant wants the meat flavor in the fries.
No, I don't know if you'd say that, but no one wants meat flavor in the fries.
There's no.
Yeah, I don't think that's a thing.
That's
a mile. Yeah. I just don't think that's the mitzias. And apparently there's no shachter. Okay, now, let me just... Now, that is the shach. Rabbi Kiva Iger right here has a second answer. And we possibly like both of them. Says Rabbi Kiva Iger, here you need some mitzias, and a simon we haven't gotten to yet. What's the exception to naparnat? When is a naparnat mamish fleishik? I cook something in a fleishik pot, and it's mamish fleishik, no coolest. Davar Charif, like onions is a classic example in our kitchens, in Davar Charif, there's no heter naparnat. Says Rabbi Kiva Iger, you know what the chiddush of the Ramah is? Yeah, really, something cooked in a fleishik pot we all know is not fleishik. But an onion or other Davar Charif in a fleishik pot is fleishik. The chiddush is you still don't have to wait 6 hours. Says that even a Davar Charif. So if I fry onions in a fleishik pan, those onions are mamish fleishik. If I mix them with milk or... But if you stir them with a milk spatula, I mamish have a terrible basar b'chol of shayla. Because davar charif is very chomer. There's no heter v'ein minyom, no heter naparnat. Even if the pan was only used for fleishik a month ago, the onions are still fleishik. Mamish fleishik. Serious shaylas. Okay, how much can you be mekel in a mishap? Okay, we'll see a machlokas between the base mayor and another poskim. But that's the cool of the Ramah. Even though davar charif is always fleishik, even if you just cut an onion with a fleishik knife cold, that onion is totally fleishik. Nonetheless, you don't have to wait 6 hours. And that makes perfect sense. Like, it's fleishik, but it doesn't stick between your teeth. Right? It's still an onion. It's fleishik. It doesn't stick the taste in your mouth. It's still an onion. So, that's the famous Kula Rabbi Kiva Iger. What's controversial is, the big chumra of the Prima Gadim, it's Hilchos Shavuos, is, how about the other way around? How about between actual meat and an onion fried in a milking pan or cut with a milking knife. That could be much more common, right? I had meat, real meat, or chicken, or whatever it may be. 5 hours, 4 hours later, 5 hours later, I want to eat a sandwich. And my wife cuts an onion with a milking knife. Can I eat it in the sandwich? Because that onion is milchik. Remember, davar charif is always milchik. There's no kulis. Why might that be more chomer? So you'd say, fine, if you eat the fleishik onion, you don't have to wait because it doesn't stick between your teeth and it doesn't stick in your mouth. But here I ate meat, so there might be meat between my teeth and my mouth. So how can I eat this onion? It's a milchik onion, right? That's much worse. If the meat is only an onion, then it doesn't have any of the power to stay in your mouth. But if I eat real meat, which stays in my mouth, am I allowed to eat this milchik onion? Says the Prima Gadim, also have to wait 6 hours. Have to wait 6 hours between meat and an onion that was made with a cut with a milchik knife or fried in a milchik pan.
What about somebody cooked in a Ben Yoma milchik pot?
Then, if it's an onion, I have to wait 6 hours, says the Prima Gadim. Not an onion is fine.
An onion is more chomer than a
yes,
Yomo?
Absolutely. 100%. A million percent. Okay, but the Yad Yehuda here, the Yad Yehuda is only in Yerodea, Frima Gadim Zorachayim, says the Yad Yehuda a good kula, which means we often don't have to worry about it. Amlo Haya Ben Yomo Mutter. He says, the Frima Gadim was only Machmir if the pan was used for meat in the last 24 hours. That's called Ben Yomo. But if the pan wasn't used for meat in the last 24 hours, even though we're still machmir on that, you should know, if you cut an onion with a milchik knife that wasn't used for a month, we're still considered milchik. If you fry an onion in a milchik pan that wasn't used for 6 months, we still consider it milchik. But there's more tzadim. L'Hakel says, the Yad Yehuda, if it's within the last 24 hours, I'm machmir on the onion. If it hasn't been used in the last 24 hours, I'm makel on the onion. In our modern-day kitchens, we don't live in Europe anymore. We have many knives, and we have many pans, and we have many pots, and we eat a variety of dishes. You almost always, when we cut an onion with a milchik knife, we haven't cut milk with that knife in the last 24 hours. Almost always, if we fry onions in a milchik pan, we haven't cooked milk in that pan in the past 24 hours. Yeah, almost always. It's not a rule. It's just my estimate. And therefore, halacha lemaisa,
how do you have a milchik tonight?
You cut hot lasagna with it.
No.
In a kli rishon.
How did the knife become milk?
You cut hot lasagna in a kli rishon with it and made it milchik. Right, obviously it's harder to make a knife milchik than to make a pan milchik, because you have to cut a hot milchik food. So you cut a hot milchik food. There are lasagnas and quiches and things that, and all these other pizza. You cut pizza with it. Although, it's not the most efficient way to cut pizza, but lasagna is good. Fine. So, halacha lemaisa says the Yad Yehuda, we hold like the Yad Yehuda, that since nowadays when we cut our onions with a milchik knife or fry the milchik pan, it's generally not ben yomo, even though we're machmer considering onion milchik, you can eat it within 6 hours. So halacha lemaisa, we can be makel on. If you know it was cut with a ben yomo knife, then you should be machmer. But generally, that's not so common. And therefore, even if you had fleishik 5 hours ago, you can eat an onion and you don't have to worry that it was cut with a milchik knife, because min hastam, if it was cut with a milchik knife, it was cut with a eino ben yomo milchik knife. Means it hasn't been used in 24 hours for milk.
So
it might have been used for vegetables, but if it hasn't been used for milk in the last 24 hours, it's not ben yomo.
So if you're cutting an onion that ain't a ben yomo kli, or cooking an ain't a ben yomo kli, how is an onion different than a regular?
There's a whole simon about that.
It is still going to be one.
There's a whole simon about that. The hour is getting late. Let's just see if we can finish a little more of the Ramah. Likewise, you can eat meat after a tavshil of gvina. But you should wash your hands in between them. Even if you just have tavshil of baser after tavshil of gvina, you should still wash your hands. Okay, let me just summarize. We can go through all the diyukim and the achronim here. I'm not going to go through all the diyukim and the achronim here. I just want to take 2 minutes to summarize what you have to do in between everything in the world. And who says so. Okay? Fair? Let's see how quickly I can summarize this, because, you know, we have a long weekend to go. Here we are. Okay. Between basar to gvina, you have to wait 6 hours. That's easy. Between gvina to basar, forgetting now what some people do based on the Zohar, you need kinuach, hadaka, and netilas yadayim. That's easy. Between a tavshel basar to a tavshel gvina, that's not so clear, right? Tavshel basar to tavshel gvina. Rabbeinu Tam says rishus. Rashbam says you need netilas yadayim. Rabbi Akiva Eger brings down a machlokas. He says the Ramah here implies all you need netilas yadayim. That's what he said here, right? This was the Ramah. However, says Rabbi Akiva Eger that the Ramah in his other sefer, the Toras Chatas, the way many people interpret that Toras Chatas, right, the Nechus Yaakov at the bottom, says you need kinua, hadacha, and netilas yadayim. He adds something that's not in the Ramah here, but that he could have meant. And the Maharshal says, nahagu lehamtin. Even from tavshil basar to tavshil gvina, the minig is to wait 6 hours. And all the Manzi terms say our minhag is like the Marashal, even though it's a big chumra, and it's just a minhag, between Tapshal Basar and Tapshal Gina wait 6 hours, just like between Tapshal Basar and Dina, right? Tapshal Basar and Dina, I should have put that first, put it first in your notes. Here, says the Rashbam, Mitzilas Yadayim, says the Rabbeinu Tam, right? You have to wait 6 hours. And technically, he didn't say 6 hours, right? You have to wait. And we already know the Ramah Paskins, other way around. We already know that the Ramah Paskin Lechomer. What other cases do we have? How about from Tavshil Gvina to Tavshil Basar? Gvina to Tavshil Basar. That was the Ramah that we just read, right? He said you need Nitil Shadayim from Tavshil Gvina to Tavshil Basar. So, the says the Tavshil Gvina, Tavshil Basar, L'chora, and clearly Rabbeinu Tam would say nothing, because it's been Tavshil and Tavshil. L'chora, the Rashbam would say Nitilas Yadayim, and that is what the Ramah says. He says Nitilas Yadayim. However, Elio Rabba, quoted in the Bnei Shulchan, Elio Rabba says Kinuach Hadacha and Nitilas Yadayim. He is a little more machmir. Okay, does this ever happen? I know if it ever happens, I don't know how to say what's the minhag olam in this case. Like, does this ever happen? The Bnei Shulchan thinks we should be machmir. I'm not so convinced we should be machmir. Sorry, Ian. I'm not so convinced we should be machmir in this case. Although it's probably easy enough. All right. Sorry, Ian. Meaning, it can't hurt to be machmir, but, what cases did I not cover yet? How about Tavshil Gvina to Basar? Tavshil Gvina to Basar, right? Tavshil Gvina to Basar says the Ramah, Nitil Shadayim. Here, that's says the Ramah. Matilah Shadayim says the Torah's Chatas. He's a little more math right there. He says, Kinuach, Hadacha, and Matilah Shadayim. Lachora, in all these cases, probably Kedai to be Machmir, right? Can't hurt to be Machmir in these cases. Do a little Kinuach and Hadacha, probably never killed anyone. Even though, not sure if it did.
Tavshil of hard cheese?
Oh, okay, I'm not covering hard cheese now. How about Gvina to Tavshil Basar? Vina, I hope we're covering Vina be'en, and then you're eating Tavshil Basar. This is exactly the case the Rashbam says you need Netil Shadayim. Says the Badei Shulchan very reasonably, even though he doesn't have a proof, he says no, it means Kinuach Hadacha and Netil Shadayim. Again, it's always Kedai to do Kinuach and Hadacha if you can. It's not the end of the world. I think there's only one I didn't cover besides hard cheese. I'll make it up to the end. Is how about you're going from Basar to Tavshil Gvina. Going from Basar to Tavshil Gvina, here it's not discussed by everyone. The Bnei Shulchan says that's because it was Pasha. And I think he's right about this. Bnei Shulchan, he says you have to wait 6 hours in this case. And I think that makes sense after Basar. I think that he points out that no one talks about this, but everyone sort of sounds this way. And of course, from Vina Kasha, the Basar, we paskin that you should wait 6 hours. That was the Ramah based on against the Shach, right? The Shach says 1 hour. 6 hours, say the Achronim. The Shach says 1 hour. And our minute is like the Achronim. I hope I've covered all the
Tavshils.
What? How about Tavshil Gvina Kasha? I think it's probably like Tavshil Gvina. I mean, that was the machlokas we saw. Okay. No, Tavshil Gvina Kasha, you can't see it. Everyone agrees that it's like Tavshil Gvina.
Sorry.
If it's not the end. Okay. One last halacha, which is Tamua, and then we'll end with this sif. Shamish Hamashamish Besudim Ogeba Ochlin. A waiter who's waiting and touches the food, but doesn't eat. Only eaters have to do Netilas Yadayim, not waiters. Says the Shach, this Ramah is Tamua. Now, it can't be the Ramah is stupid. There must be something, but no one understands Ramah. They say the Ramah is getting mixed up here. But at the best of our knowledge, says, no, what kind of Netilas Yadayim does someone who eats have to do and a waiter doesn't have to do? Mayim? Rishonim, washing before you eat is a takana only on the people who eat, not on the waiters. Why? Because it's based on takana from the old days of Truma, and it's only a takana from the old days that we're talking about, not on the person who eats, not on the waiter. However, the washing between meat and milk is because it's in your hands and it'll get dirty and you'll contaminate it. So wash the waiter if he touches hot dogs and he touches lasagna. Why would you not have to wash his hands? It doesn't make any sense. That's not a takana because of the old days where you say, hey, chad gazru, gazru, hey, chlo gazru, gazru. That's practical. His hands have hot dogs on them. How can he serve you cheese? And therefore, we reject this Ramah. We say, of course, the waiter has to wash if he's handling meat products and handling milk products. The Rapashat, I think in the health codes, you have to wash between everything anyway. But the Rapashat, that if a waiter or a cook is handling milk and handling meat, then usually not. The milk restaurants, the fleshy restaurants are separate. But if someone would be cooking or waiting and handling milk and meat, of course they would have to, they would have to kinuach badach if they're not eating, but they have to kinuach shadayim between the meat and milk against this Rambam. Okay, we'll have to continue with Siv Daled and Birtz Hashem. Next time, next year, we do not have shear. Next year.